Video games are super fun and super expensive. Once you bust open that plastic, you're stuck with them. That's why Redbox lets you try out the hottest new games risk-free. Right now, you can rent Call of Duty World War II, Middle-Earth, Shadow of War, WWE 2K18, and more. Just text FRIENDCAST to 727272 for a free one-night game rental. That's FRIENDCAST to 727272. Thanks, Redbox.
Thanks, Redbox.
Thank you.
That's a podcast start.
Hey, we were all here today.
Hello.
We all did it. We all showed up. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, man.
Promise nothing.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah.
That attendance record has been getting pretty dizzy.
So we had
let's try to fix that.
We had like a 200 streak or something.
Something like that.
I missed like one. I think it was in Japan. I missed the second one or something like that. And then, but you went 223, right?
Yeah, you had the longest record.
And then you did the Amsterdam, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. And then like, and we were all like pretty close in like the hundreds. And now we, like the past couple weeks, we just shit all over it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
So you see, somebody said we got to start over now
from the beginning.
We got to renumber all the podcasts.
It couldn't make less
because we
sense
had to cancel
to
the
that.
One.
No, it's true, and so the combo has to end and restart.
Yeah, but
we were up to smoking six
but
style.
Don't forget that combo.
We were at godlike combo.
Yeah, but you don't forget it. You don't act like that combo didn't exist.
But the problem is we didn't cash out the damage, Matt.
That's actually a much more apt description.
So all the damage is... It's all gray life now.
What the hell is the cash-out damage of the podcast analogy? Is that like taking our dicks out and getting banned?
That's ending up on the news for one reason or another, I suppose.
I hope I'm super never on the news, ever.
You will be.
I will be!
Yeah.
Hopefully it's like, philanthropist, super cool guy died saving children from a bus or something. Yeah, I know, right? I'll pay somebody at the
children might be involved.
Oh, come on now.
Yikes. I think we could always just call it like, you know, Super Best Friend Cast 2, Episode 1.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, so
No, Book 2 fire.
We're starting Okami 2 of the podcast now. Now.
Right.
You have another 200-ish before we get to the third part.
All that changed
but
when
the third part is
nation's attacked.
But the third part is actually just a second subtitle, like Jedi Outcast.
Oh.
You just start getting, more colons
in there. Would it
just
be a JoJo thing? Just call it Friendcast Part 2, like... Then subtitle, whatever you like.
I guess. But
that'd be fine.
But we never had the balls to like declare that the first arc was called Phantom Blood.
Yeah.
You know?
Or
so
something.
That's your mistake.
Ghost Flesh.
Yeah, so now we got the first arc is just like the name of the podcast, and then every subsequent one is the subtitle.
And then you can go back and call it A New Hope.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Plus every podcast title usually is like a subtitle in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a chapter.
Be it risque or honest or just like really, really brutal.
Gross.
Like,
really, really
gross. Yes, really, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you can't guess what we talked about on this week's podcast from the title.
I saw the barrel attack, Worf.
Yeah, you did. Have you ever seen that beforehand or just heard us talk about it?
No, that was pretty incredible.
It's the stupidest. It's so bad.
I got a sensible chuckle out of that.
Oh, man.
It was like, the barrel was clearly
His
empty.
His spine is destroyed by that barrel.
They didn't even pretend there was any weight in it.
They say, Willie, that if that had fallen on a human, fucking a red smear on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
That barrel had like 20,000 dark tons.
The only reason you're alive is because of your amazing Klingon physiology.
Yeah, because Klingons have several backup organs to back up their organs.
But then they go, shattered into dust every single vertebrae in his super spine. That empty barrel of plastic.
It was
polyurethane.
It was very clearly an empty
barrel. No, it was filled with dark tons.
So I feel like we're far enough away from TNG now, because I remember being a kid.
I don't think we are.
I remember being a kid and watching fucking Kirk throw the fucking styrofoam rock at Gorn.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, that's so bad looking.
Yeah.
But now we're far enough away from TNG that you can look at it and go, oh,
that looks amazing.
Almost as bad in many places.
I mean, you'd almost want to start like throwing moments like that into the movies just to keep the legacy of horrible props.
Oh, the
going.
Movies are so serious. They're so boring.
There's got to be something dumb in them, though. That
would you
I don't
consider
remember.
That serious, though? Because Kirk is such a he's such a playboy like joke cracker.
Not in the movies.
Well, there's plenty of stupid fucking shit in the movies, but it's like embarrassing and not like fun.
Yeah,
it's like Kirk getting like stapled to a bridge and then falling off a cliff.
Or buried under rocks.
Is the worst. Or like,
Worf
shooting that fucking bazooka.
So yeah, the purple space
you
bazooka.
Say it's so serious, but like, let's not forget that like, it's not like it wasn't serious before. It was unintentionally hilarious.
No, but it's like, you never had a full episode of like one full hour of just like vicious, like, let me put it this way. Even the really serious, like sad, dark ones were like an hour, right? Or a 44-minute episode.
Or yeah. Sometimes there'd be two-parters.
You go to the movie, and you're like, oh, I'm watching Insurrection, and it's like it's an hour and a half of like a bunch of, oh, they're moving to people. It's so bad. Oh, God. It sucks.
I don't remember any jokes in them,
Insurrection
though.
Sucks.
Yeah.
It's the worst one.
Mm.
And even in the fun, stupid shit, when you go to First Contact, and at the end, like, Picard's like in a tank top and he fucking does the sick neck breaker move on the fucking Borg queen.
That
sounds
awesome.
Yeah, it's not. It's super lame.
Willie, do you know how much information they could have taken from the Borg queen if he had not murdered her horribly?
Oh.
They could have figured out everything about the Borg. But he snapped her T-101 spine.
And then her little red robot eye goes...
The logical, rational Picard.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the whole thing about the movies, that there's TV show Picard, and then there's Larry.
Yeah, action man
kills
Picard.
Kills everything.
TV show Picard's like, oh, we have to negotiate with this crystalline entity that eats all life.
Yeah.
And then fucking movie Picard is like, we need to shoot the Borg! I need to shoot a Borg in the face right now!
Okay, we made the joke last time. Remember I said like Stardate 105 and it's just the Enterprise shooting lasers in every direction into the galaxy?
Yeah.
That's how movie Picard would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Janeway.
Okay.
Or Janeway.
Johnny Picks.
Yes.
Johnny L. Picks. Action hero.
We weren't even joking.
You can tell how reckless a captain is in any particular episode by how fast does it escalate to ram them with the ship.
Yeah.
Ram them with the ship is always the dead last option, but there are many times in which it is the first option. And you're like, what? Yeah. Why did you go there first?
Ram them with the side of the ship that has the most children.
Yeah. The saucer section. Hit them with the children part.
Hit them with the kindergarten part.
You know the saucer on the Enterprise?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the civilians live.
Oh, yeah.
So when they go, hey, ram them with the ship,
yeah.
It's literally like picking up a neighborhood and throwing it at someone.
Oh, yeah. Those are the disposables.
A space neighborhood.
We can replace those.
The bridge is like underneath like the
it's
bottom.
It's the blue part is.
Yeah, it's the eyeball. Yeah.
Totally.
It's fucking so, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Good stuff.
Oh, man. Star Trek's so great.
How's your week?
Oh, it's great. I didn't do all that much fancy, really. Watched 99% of The Punisher, but one episode to go. I will echo Matt's thoughts. That would have ended perfectly at 10 episodes.
Yeah.
There is one final little loose end that occurs at episode 9 and continues to 12. That is then resolved immediately.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, you just added this last second
subplot
foible to extend it a little bit.
The Marvel fumble.
It's not as bad as
it's the best one so far because it actually makes sense why anyone would care about this one.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as bad as like a Luke Cage fumble of like, let's get rid of interesting thing and let's bring in not interesting thing that's not as cool.
Well, like,
it's not to that level.
The main problem with it is that like when the last second development showcases the direction the entire rest of the show is going to go to a T. So it's not what I'm going to describe. I'm going to describe an alternate version of this, but it's like you find out with four episodes to go, there's a nuke in the city.
Okay, okay.
And only so-and-so has the codes to the nuke. And then your brain just goes, okay, well, he's going to go here, then that guy's going to get killed, and then...
It's a drastic reshifting of priorities.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And
like for a little bit.
That's what made Spider-Man 2 not so good.
Oh, boy, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of realized that my extremely mild OCD
mm-hmm.
is not going to let me start that without at least tapping off Iron Fist and Defenders.
Well, jeez. I'll tell you what.
That it couldn't have less.
I know.
You're safe.
But I'm most of the way there.
Did you watch Daredevil Season 2?
Yeah.
The first thing I wanted to know was
like, how much does it matter? And then I found out not much
Zero.
At all.
Zero.
Not much at all. But I was like two away from the end of Iron Fist.
Oh, well, if you're two
and
away.
And then I was like, I might as well just see what the rest was to just see what's going on.
So you're doing it for context.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that the timeline that Punisher takes place
it's the last one
is the so most far. Recent
yeah, they're as
I guess so but like they don't even mention any other like
no,
they, no one even says like Hell's Kitchen
aside, I know aside but if from, we catch a whiff of a Rosario Dawson
no,
fart
no
I want to
no,
know the episode no, that it no, originated
Karen,
in
Karen is now the inter
right, right,
which,
right.
Is, which is one of the worst trade downs of all time.
That's not a good one.
That being said, like, it's really great, and John Bernthal's performance is what keeps it.
He's a good actor.
Who plays Micro?
A fairly unknown actor.
Because he's great.
He's good.
And, like, more than...
Micro's one of the, like, the most nothing characters in Punisher stuff, generally. Yeah. They never really do anything too interesting with him, and they actually made him, like, a fully fleshed out
I mean, you
character.
Say that, but he's the closest thing to a Robin.
Yeah.
That's ever been there. So,
yeah.
And he did show up in the Radioactive Spider-Blood episode.
He did. It's true.
It did.
Which made me overthink how important he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. He's
so
not important.
Like, more than even like Frank's revenge plot, which is the same as it always is. I gotta kill everybody. Everyone's gotta die. It's so entertaining to watch what is essentially the shittiest friendship ever. Like, they're such dicks. They're so unlikable for so such long. Well, actually, Frank is unlikable. Micro is likable.
Okay.
And the mid-season subplot that doesn't have anything to do with the revenge story has a really, really, really obvious point for the meta story to cause something to happen.
Yeah.
But it's still legitimately entertaining and has a lot to do with, like... It makes you understand Frank better, even mm-hmm. though it has nothing to do with him.
Mm-hmm. No, that was the one cutoff story that had, like, I think the most to work with. Just because, you know, Iron Fist, like, I don't know. I guess it's like, anyway, like Punisher had a good...
I know that both of you kind of refused to talk about Iron Fist. You Dude, both just, like, hand-waved it.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I know.
I watched one episode.
They cast Loras Tyrell as Danny Rand. And
oh, that's true.
There's a bunch of Game of Thrones actors that are
fucking
showing up
Loras.
In that.
See, I knew you looked familiar, but not enough.
And I forgot the guy's name from 300 that has the eye patch that's like, he comes back at the end.
Oh, I know him.
That guy is like, plays a huge role as well. And yeah, it just... Like, they just run out of things to do with the characters.
Because all of these shows do not need to be 13 episodes. Every single one did not need to be 13. I think Defenders actually wasn't 13, which is good.
It's also weird because it has the most to actually
Stuff.
Do.
Yeah. No, they vary. It's like the whole, you know, like, we're going to do an okay first six episodes and then fuck up the last six thing. In Iron Fist's case, you don't even get that. You really just get, like... We ran out of things to do immediately.
After episode one.
Three. Oh. You know, and then we're just going to wing it.
I'm going to punch people with my magic hands.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, Punisher had a setup by coming in, saving Daredevil Season 2, and, like, leaving on a high note. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like, you've already established this working thing, and you just have to isolate it now.
Punisher does have one thing that the others don't, because there's two points in which the story gets extended. One, which is very near the end, where it's a little forest, and there's one that's near the middle. Matt, it's when he goes to the house. After the base. He goes to the base, then he goes to the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, wow, I wonder how they're going to keep this. Oh, that's how. Mm. That's actually fantastic.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It's great. It's I'm excited to see.
Because the last episode is just they prolonged it just to have a fight.
Yeah.
So the entire episode is just leading up to a fight that it doesn't really need.
The second to last episode's really goofy because every single thing is solved except one bad guy just walks out of the room.
But that second to last episode was quite
good.
Oh,
yeah. It's great.
Did anyone peep Runaways?
I could if I was allowed. You can't watch Runaways in Canada.
Yeah.
So.
Is the dinosaur in it?
Yes.
I don't know. I can't watch it.
Okay.
I know this. I saw a trailer. It had a velociraptor.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was one of those fucking good velociraptors with the no feathers.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's canon.
Good.
Fucking assholes.
The that's pure canon. Bloodline.
Aside from that, playing games, picked Neo back up. That game's still hard as shit.
Yep.
But the Odachi weapon that they added is a lot more my speed. It's a big, long greatsword. So feels a lot more natural to me after, you know, so much Dark Souls. And I've been goofing around in Destiny, leveling characters, getting guns. I got a better Devils last night when I was playing with Plague, and I yelled out. It was a woot. It's a loot game. You get a fancy gun, and you get it happy. That's it. Nothing special.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll save that.
The XP shit they've been doing is fucking stupid.
That's on the docket.
It's fucking
we'll get
dumb.
Okay,
right.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah. I streamed and played a little bit of Wolfenstein after like not playing it, you know, buying it but not actually getting into it. A lot of people are telling me different things. They're like, "Man, it's not as good as the first one. Man, it's way better than the first one." I'm like,
I saw both.
All right.
Of those, yeah.
Sure. And I'm like, everyone's like, "Man, you better put it on fucking Don't Hurt Me, Daddy."
Yeah.
Because it's hard as shit, mm-hmm. and not in a great way. More like. Levels have much more verticality, and I'm like, sure, I guess. And I started playing it, and like, I was like, this is good, but yeah, I could kind of see what people are saying. After a while, you have to go into a building that's completely destroyed, like multiple floors, so you can see up multiple floors because they're all holes, and just everything is killing. Like, it just ramped up after like the first mission, just considerably, like, bam.
Does it have that feeling where you walk into a room and you go, "How am I being shot from every direction all at once?"
Even with all the indications of modern game design, jelly coming on your screen,
little
and, like,
red
all over,
like,
the place.
I'm still whatever, just because I felt like the first game was very like Doom style, where it was very straight, but it like went off into these directions, but the verticality kind of just made it like, and up until where I played about 3 hours of it, I'm like, what's new? I didn't really notice anything. The only thing I think
you're
is
in
maybe
America.
Leveling up your guns was different, and it seemed pretty neat. Like, you got a skill point. Like, it's almost like RPG-ish. Mm-hmm. You got a skill point. Now go into your grenades and level up your grenades. Like, add nails
that
to
them. That was kind of there.
Was
before.
It?
Yeah, there was a skill-up system, and it was based off of if you could, like, kill commanders, and then it would be like, get 10 headshots with this gun.
Okay, so then it all had that, but that's separate.
Okay.
Was that the case in the first one? I forget now.
Honestly, it's been a while.
But it's still the same thing of going to an area, there's two commanders, got to kill them. And I'm like, up until I stopped, I don't actually know what was supposed to be new in this other than, yeah, it takes place in America. Mm-hmm. And you have the exact same hub world where everyone's got their makeshift bunks everywhere. And I'm like, okay, I like this part. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So, there's nothing wrong with it, but I was just kind of like, I guess this is just a straight up sequel. And like the first one, there's no multiplayer.
Like the way sequels used to be.
Not that I mind there being no multiplayer, but I'm like, okay, so the single player is almost exactly the same. And there's
apparently,
like,
it's considerably shorter as well.
Someone was telling me that too. Like the first one was like 12, 15 hours for a first person shooter.
First one is really long. So is Doom. Doom is also really long.
Doom's not as long.
What are you playing it on?
Xbox One X.
Okay.
Yeah,
the Xbox.
It looks really good, but other than that, I played something I actually enjoyed a lot more. Battle Chef Brigade is fucking awesome. I couldn't sleep one night, just various reasons. And I'm like, okay, I got to get something to get me to, you know, calm down and go back to bed. So I played like 40 minutes of this. This is like a Kickstarter game, an adult Swim Games picked it up. And basically it's...
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
It's like Iron Chef, but a makeshift kind of Legend of Korra style world.
Yes.
But when you cook, it turns into like a Tetris Puyo Pop game.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Plus there's Monster Hunter style hunting and gathering.
Wow, the art on this is great.
I remember seeing the
art's
for
quite
this.
Good, but the
cool.
animation is a little limited. Usually when characters are talking, it just flips frames. Mm-hmm. Like it just goes from a stance or whatever. But when you go outside and there's like a fighting element to it, you have to make your dishes to impress judges, because it's basically a lot like Legend of Korra, like when she wants to go to the big city for pro bending.
The main character is the one in the blue with the yellow scarf, right? That's a great design.
This is what my thought. This is what I think Toriko is like, even though it's probably not. This is what I've always imagined it was like. Yeah.
And the dialogue's really nicely written. It's very good voice acting. The only other like kind of negative is that when you go out to the forests and the action areas, the backgrounds are not – they're a little basic and kind of simple.
So there's two things. I got to talk some shit a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I understand that the animation's clearly like on that budget. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like some of what the lighting and such is made for time and like economy.
Yes.
But there's these shots of like the dishes that are not vanillaware in dishes.
You can't do
this. You know what I mean?
All the time.
If you're going to be about that delicious food, you got to be vanillaware or Ghibli.
The camera doesn't really zoom in on the meals.
But I want the steam and the glisten off of the steamed hams.
Like, I understand. But like you're just supposed to throw the dish. You have to like.
Steamed hams.
Yeah. There's that whole milking room that's milking the Aurora Borealis.
That is the stupidest image I've ever seen, and I laugh myself silly.
So good. Anyway, this is on Steam and Switch. It's really good. I want to play more. Kind of maybe thinking of streaming a bit more in the future, because like I was just like, I need to get back into this. Because like you also have to do your meals and do them in time and plate them in front of the judges. Nice. Like it's a mix of everything, and
that's
it works
super
really,
creative
really well.
Looking and yeah. sounding.
Liam's been about this game for a while.
Absolutely,
too,
I remember.
And I was like,
her.
Oh, okay. That. Other than that, I saw Justice
Gotta
League.
Gotta get that food porn.
Tell me
there,
about
though.
Fucking Justice League.
I don't really remember anything,
because you said a bunch of shit coming out of the theater on Twitter. It wasn't crazy. It was just like,
you know,
that was a movie.
Bit further and further away, I'm starting to forget.
I might know more about that movie than you now, because I watched the fucking Red Letter Media breakdown.
Yeah, I hadn't watched it yet, but yeah.
Without the movie?
Yeah. I don't give a shit. A fucking Justice League.
Okay, that's interesting, because that for me is in the category of I have to know.
Yeah.
So. Well, I was like,
I don't have to know right away.
So for me, it was I gotta know. So I'll see what Mike and Jay have to say. And now it's actually I have to know, because there's some stuff in that movie.
So here's the problem: Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Jesus.
Yeah,
I will remember it forever.
Oh, it's burned in
because of all the ridiculousness of it. I don't. If this is like Justice League to me is like Suicide Squad, where I'm like what did it look like?
Perhaps it would be more memorable if the Snyder Cut eventually made its way out.
Hopefully there'll be a petition to release it.
Well,
if we can just get enough
people holding back the vision.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
That movie is... So I've been following the production of that movie a hell of a lot more than I've been following the movie
Bookmark
itself.
That, by the way.
That thing got chopped and screwed almost as much as Suicide Squad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
I believe it.
To the point, like, the reshoots is one thing, but the most dramatic and weird one is, like, the color grading. Like, decisions got changed halfway through.
A team movie is the easiest kind of movie to fuck up, and it's also the most important movie in your entire franchise.
So you want to hope that it's not the worst performing movie financially, so,
and all
out.
You've got to go on is Avengers and X-Men 1.
Yeah.
So
the weirdest part.
A team movie doesn't count if you're always a team, though.
Yeah. And no, but I was gonna say like the new X-Men stuff I wouldn't count, because it's just kind of still
continuing franchises,
and it's focusing on, you know.
But the color grading thing really weirds me out, because you go back and you look at these old trailers and, like, it's night. And then you look at, like, the new trailer or what's in the film, and it's, like, late afternoon, like, day. And it makes a lot of, like, the costume decisions look like shit. Because it's like, this costume was never supposed to be seen in broad daylight.
So, I mean, that gif of Cyborg.
Oh, man. That's where bad.
Cyborg never looks it correct it in looks, any shot of the movie. There's always something off.
It looks like my editing on, like, Fighterpedia, like, sliding images over things.
Something,
like,
there's something about that,
wow.
I'll say, like, one or two things really, really briefly, is that, like, yes, this is the worst, one of, if not the worst villain I've ever seen in a modern superhero
Steppenwolf?
Movie. Yeah, just the most nothing. The Malekith from Thor 2 level of, like, sure...
Malekith was an evil elf.
Yeah, and this is an evil something.
He looks like a Diablo 1
reject. They don't explain where he's from and, like what he
is. Wait, really? Seriously?
He's an overlord, and we've been fighting him for years.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all you got?
That's all he's got.
Wow.
So at least, like, Avengers has the same problem. The first Avengers has the same problem where it has the stupid monster aliens. Mm-hmm. But Loki was at least there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, no, these are guys I have on loan from someone else.
Steppenwolf
And then you get the Thanos drop. I'm assuming there's a dark side drop, because
there was
in the second movie.
I sure was. Absolutely not here, though. Steppenwolf has an army of insect robots that I thought was a joke. I thought it was a Plinkett, the bugs and the robots.
Yeah.
No, they're just there. And
they're disposable.
So you have this, you have Ultron.
Yeah.
Using the bug monster aliens from Avengers. Well, like, it's the worst possible combination, right?
Mm. He works for Darkseid, though.
If he does, the movie did not mention it.
Okay.
You mean the comics, maybe?
I'm saying, I don't know.
A question. You said that the second movie had a dark side thing. What was that?
Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman. Side.
No, that's Steppenwolf.
It was?
That was super confirmed. That's not Darkseid. That's Steppenwolf that he's talking to.
In the ship?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know.
Okay.
You would expect a dark side one at the end of this thing.
I would.
And I think I said this on Twitter. It's like, the first 40 minutes is objectionally, like, to me, like, awful. Like, I just couldn't. I was just like, this is such a mess.
Smash cut of him getting the dudes, right?
Oh, yeah. Gathering up the team is, like, the worst part of the movie for me. And
it's
like,
supposed to be the best part.
because he just finds Aquaman, and Aquaman's like, hey, sup, and they're like, yeah, you're that guy, and then Aquaman just joins the team, and it's like, hey, you're Barry Allen, right? And then they're coming out of a door, and he goes, yeah, the Speed Force, and he goes, cool, get in the car. That's all they get, because they're not allowed their own movie yet.
No, it hasn't been unlocked.
Yeah, soon. You have to pay more.
Soon.
That's not how you do it. You don't have the solo movie after the team up.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, they just don't do it in a great way. When they start all fighting on the same team, it's fine. And actually, to me, like, the biggest takeaway is that Aquaman was, like, the most nothing. And I went into it going, yeah, Jason Momoa, Aquaman, sure. And they try to make him, like, the asshole that's like, no, I don't trust any of you guys. Mm-hmm. You're all fucking city dwell. Like, but then they back it off real hard. Like, then he'll see someone, like, Flash will say something, and he'll be like,
yeah, he's a piece of shit.
And then he's just fine. So
Do you know what I hear you describing?
Yeah.
I hear you describing Snyder scenes and then Whedon scenes.
A bit. I think so.
Like a character that acts like that sounds like it was written twice.
I'd rather have Aquaman be an asshole all up until the last minute when someone saves his ass or it proves them that they're worthy and cool. But no, he doesn't really have any smart alecky remarks, really, because that's all Flash, maybe a bit too much Flash.
Well, Flash is
almost borderline, like, he's always feels like he's really anxious.
We'll have to wait until Side Aqua is released.
Aqua Side Mission.
and then we'll know what happened.
But guess what? Right? Batman's costume still looks awesome in every shot. Yeah. I'm like, oh, look how fucking cool he looks. And Wonder Woman's amazing in it. She's the only person that seems to care. Like, the, even though the actress...
That is such a weird thing to say.
Even though the actress has this godly, like, noble air, which is usually, like, dry.
Yeah.
There's this, like, sort of warmth where you're like, oh, I have Wonder Woman's on the screen, thank God.
So it's like, we have to save the humans.
Could that be related at all to her being the only one that has, like, a good taste?
Maybe.
From the get-go? Maybe. In your mouth?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, Batman, obviously, there, too.
I feel bad for Cyborg, man, because he's a weird side character.
But he was important to the overall story.
Yeah, sure, but it's like he needed a solo movie the most.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to tell. I mean...
actually gets the most
star athlete. My shit got fucked. Now I'm a robot, and why am I? He's around so he can hack the tech stuff.
He gets the most thing though.
Yeah,
you know that's.
And like the last sort of thing is when Superman shows up. Spoilers: Superman's in it. I actually liked him. I was like, yeah.
So the reason why I need to go see this is because I'm hearing really good things about the Superman in this movie.
Okay.
And I was like, that's. Fine, but the problem is that when he's there, it's like Steppenwolf doesn't have a chance anymore. it's like they didn't think of, okay, well, does he have a plan for it? Because Steppenwolf only shows up because he's like, thank God that dick's dead. Now I can invade. That's
the rest of you
how
idiots
everything
won't
pops
be a
off.
Problem.
Yeah, and they're not,
and
kind of.
Now Superman's here. Now I'm done. Is that basically how that goes?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, oh, son of Krypton. And he's like, yep, you don't have a chance.
Hey, comic nerds, I have a comic nerd question about Superman. Wooly might be able to answer this. I don't know. He seems to know more.
I'll try. It'll probably be wrong.
Why is everyone on Krypton so fucking stupid that they continue to live on the one planet in the universe that would make them normal instead of being like super gods everywhere else?
Oh, I have no answer.
Because that's...
I've never heard
that
an answer.
Becomes dumber by the day.
They live under a red sun. And that's all there is to it.
Super advanced society didn't know they gained superpowers.
You know what? I don't know.
Somebody tell me that.
Yeah, there's probably a really good answer for that. You know what? You can find out next year in the television series masterpiece, Krypton.
Yeah, good.
That's all about life on Krypton before pre-explosion.
Are you serious?
Superman's granddad.
That couldn't be more pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Because
everyone
knows
how it ends.
The end is every character will die.
Sometimes it's
the
journey,
though. But that's what everyone said about Smallville.
That's true.
Yeah, and Smallville sucks.
And then it went on forever and ended up being terrible, yeah. But if it ended after the first season, it would have been good.
No.
Yeah.
If it ended the way they said it was
going to
end.
It would have been fine.
And a final thought.
Yeah, feet leave the ground.
Feet leave the ground, wrap it up.
The last two post-credit scenes were actually very good. There was one that was a joke, but it was like... hey, everyone loves this joke, right? And then they show a new villain in the end, and he looks so fucking cool.
Is
like,
it a villain that you're personally familiar with?
Yes, we all are.
Okay. Could you text me that right now?
Yeah, okay, well.
So you don't spoil it?
So he just shows up, and I'm like, he looks so fucking awesome, and I want to see him in a new movie. Like, that gave me more hope.
Do they play in Suicide Squad at all, or
Who?
Is it completely separate?
What do you mean?
Is there any mention of
any
Suicide
mention
Squid?
Of the
Suicide?
Absolutely
no,
not.
No,
Suicide
no,
Squid.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's that new DLC for Splatoon.
Did they mention the Martin Scorsese?
That's because I was going to say.
No.
Fucking,
so that's just the whole other Joker
all three
origin.
Joker movies.
Yeah, all three.
All not canon.
Great.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
Did they mention superhero Lego Girls? DC?
No.
No?
No.
Because that's the new canon.
They mention one other group, one other superpowered kind of race, but they don't say what their name is. They just show them visually in the sky doing some things.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
The missing one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Sure.
So you say, so rank this against Man of Steel and Batman
It's better than Man of Steel. It's better than Batman versus Superman on a technical level.
Rank it against Age of Ultron.
I'm gonna put it below Age of Ultron, but not by a whole bunch.
Oh, that's good.
Because the interactions between the heroes in Age of Ultron is better. But the main story thread of Age of Ultron is not that much
I would
better.
Say that if Age of Ultron didn't have the farm scene, that movie would be trash. But
yeah, but that scene really.
But everything
was
at
awesome.
The farm is great.
Yep. Yep. Agreed.
Like Age of Ultron is one of those that I'll never rewatch. Like I'll rewatch Winter Soldier. I'll rewatch Civil War.
Well, those are easy.
But I don't. I wouldn't say trash. I just say bland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know? But the like. The only part of that whole movie that feels like it means anything is like two conversations mm-hmm. that happen in the farm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That cool moment where the Captain America pulls the wood apart and his pecs are huge.
Yeah, that's a good part.
Which Quicksilver do you prefer, Fox's or Marvel's?
Okay, I much preferred Marvel's Quicksilver's character. But the technical shenanigans they do with Foxes,
yeah, exactly.
tasting the ketchup.
That's a problem. Is that Flash doesn't really do anything that's going to blow your mind. Like you've
weird because that template already exists.
Yeah, so it's like they're kind of stuck. Like, what are we supposed to do when
I would honestly hope,
and he's in the frozen time. Yeah. Kind of, there's a neat thing that happens, but other than that, it's like. It's okay.
I would hope they just do all his greatest hits from like. You know, the show and such.
Well, maybe when they finally stop firing directors on the Flash movie,
maybe,
they'll get that done.
Like, at the very least, I'm not saying rip open the Speed Force and pull someone through. I'm not saying do your crazy Kingdom Come thing. I'm saying just maybe, like, the Round the World punch. You know?
That's the finale of Flash's solo movie.
Round the World punch would be
there is nothing fucking cool. You get in the movie, like one single superhero thing that's exciting as any super in Injustice. You'll never see it. There's nothing that
which are,
cool.
And those are the most Snyder moments.
You see
ever.
Multiple of those in a fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a 3-minute thing.
Damn. Oh well.
DC's getting better. Good job.
Cool.
Now if you guys can make a movie without having to cut it to shit and fucking edit it
well,
to
Wonder
hell.
Woman. Wonder Woman is way better than this.
Yeah, you're right. You're
Enjoy
right.
Wonder
and it
Woman
didn't have
more.
This exact problem. Mm-hmm. They made a movie and it came out.
So yeah.
That's how you're supposed
cool.
to do it.
All right. I didn't have a week, so let's get into the news.
We should now bake in the Dragon Master thing,
which wherever it's from, if we can source that original.
No, we're not allowed to talk about it yet.
Yeah,
when we do the video, we'll
that's
talk
fine.
About it.
No, I guess
I'm wondering. He's wondering where to start. That's what he's doing.
No, it's not that. No. I do like. I guess want to say like publicly thanks to people who have. Sent things and been cool. People seem to be very concerned, and I just want to, I guess, say that that's like you don't have to be. That thank you very much for everything that people have sent in.
It's appreciated, but I have enough cards, kind of thing.
So, just want to let people know it's all good. And that's pretty much all there is to say.
Yeah,
let's get into the news.
Okay, I got to do it again.
You don't want to maybe start with stealing a soul for a second chance?
Soul for a second chance.
The time has come and so have I.
All right. I don't know about you, but personally...
I hate Devil May Cry.
Like, for some reason, like, just the sound of DMCV...
Oh,
just
yeah.
Really, really...
Now that you say it like that...
It's the nicest palate cleanser possible.
It really resonates.
DMCV
and,
is
oh,
good.
Man. That's how you wash the palate.
Yeah.
You know?
Washed.
So walk us through this, man. There is some stuff we've seen before in here. In fact, there's a lot in here that we've seen before.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of people have known about this for a long time, and this is a leak that is officially coming together on behalf of the entire DMC community, aware of the fact that this game has existed.
It is very clear to anybody who knows anybody on this thing, this is like the worst kept secret I have ever seen. This is bad.
Nah, there's stuff in the past that's probably
the PSP Go, I think, is probably the worst kept secret ever, actually. But because people got hit, people got the hardware and were holding it in front of Sony people. Yeah. But yeah, no, this is like this has now come from like a dozen places.
And it's still in rumor territory.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we
can't
get excited about it.
But they all say the same thing.
Hideaki Etsuno's secret project for Capcom is the sequel to the original Devil May Cry series, the fifth installment. Internally, it appears to be called Devil May Cry V.
Now, that may not be the actual final title.
But I really, really hope it is.
I think it's fine to just call it that.
And then just add the letters Urgil afterwards. And then, no. That's fine. Apparently the reason why we haven't heard about it yet is based on some Sony internal rumblings, they were shifting their schedule around. We should have heard about it this month, but what prompted this leak was everyone getting a bit frustrated that it didn't happen this month.
Yeah.
So they're saying for quite some time, we, the Devil May Cry community, have been aware of the existence of a new DMC game. Itsuno planned to unveil this as a secret project this year. We waited to see what would happen. And through E3, TGS, Paris Games, and now in late November, there's no information about it. We know it's not his fault, basically. And Sony wanted to... Where does it say? It explains...
It was supposed to be shown off at PSX this month.
Yeah, right underneath release date and production.
Sony at some point decided to hold a bunch of stuff back from PSX, which we do know is the case, because they put out that statement going, PSX is going to be a lot smaller this year!
Because they wanted to strengthen E3 2018.
Yeah.
So this was one of the cuts.
So the good news on this is that when this game gets announced, it's probably only going to be like 3-4 months away. It's going to be a 2018 release,
and there's going to be a demo beforehand,
probably going to release at E3.
But there's some huge changes to the formula that are not going to take away what we love, but
they are adding some different stuff,
but adding things that I'm curious to see how this is going to pan out. So there's going to be a demo. Let's go down this list.
I love that it says the trailer has been finished for years.
Yes, yeah.
But we're not allowed
because it's one of those trailers that has, like, the final design of the characters are done.
Yeah,
and it's them just talking in front of a mirror or some shit.
Yeah, so that's the game, such a Devil May Cry
So Devil
thing.
May Cry V has been in DMCV has been in development for 2 years as of today. It will be at least 3 years by the time it's done. Which is the longest any DMC game has had.
Good.
Pre-production started around the time Special Edition 4 released, which is 2015.
That's totally unshocking that they would look at the astonishing success of that re-release and go, okay, fuck it.
Well, you got to think that, like, that anytime a re-release like that happens, you have to wonder if it's like...
It's the Capcom test.
But it's also people cutting their teeth on the dev side of, like, getting used to
it.
All
right, new guys, here's how you make a Devil May Cry game.
Basically, right? Open up the files, do what you got to do. Sony is apparently involved to the point that they might be funding part of it,
which might make it a PC PS4 game
exclusive. Not sure if it's timed or not, but somehow Sony is got money in the
game.
Is
touching it. Yeah.
The trailer's been ready for a while now. It's 1:50 long. They might add new cuts because it's come a long way since then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a city-like setting, not unlike Fortuna City from DMC4.
Okay.
Overall game is supposed to be ambitious for a DMC title with a broader appeal. Longest cutscene running time of any DMC game yet.
That's great. Those cutscenes are stupid.
They're getting as cinematic as they can.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make this a full-on... Like, genre breakout?
Big game,
yeah.
Whereas they've always been genre games. Genre breakout, I like that term. I hadn't heard it before.
Yeah. Just
where it becomes bigger than the genre that it escapes from.
And thus appeals to more people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the name itself is already big enough that...
It's like, entrenched. People know Dante.
People that don't play the games know of and are aware of Devil May Cry, so... So the previous team that worked on Dragon's Dogma and the DMC games is working on this.
Great, that's a good team.
Shimomura is the cutscene director.
Great.
He did the DMC 3, 4, and Bayonetta cutscenes. Ruben, Johnny, and Dan are back.
As their respective characters.
No word on Trish or Lady. And Anya Fiori is helping with the soundtrack. She did the song for DMC4 SE's launch
trailer. As long as it doesn't say helped on Marvel Infinite.
I'm skipping right over that spoiler section like I did it when I read this last night.
Yeah.
Hard lock on is standard. Did you read the spoilers?
I read them.
Okay.
I read them.
They're not that big a deal.
Okay, I'd rather not.
There's one thing that's a big deal, but you already knew it.
Yeah, I'd rather not. Hard lock on is standard. Target 60 frames per second.
Of course it is.
Level design is more open. Not going into Souls open world territory, but movement outside of combat has been streamlined to match the open nature of the game. So we're going to have
like almost like running into Versus in Bayo. But what is one in my head?
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what in my
but an easier, faster way of just like traversing.
You know what
the
I
map.
In my head is it is? It's actually, and Matt would have much more experience with this, is the way the Yakuza games work, where your movement controls outside of battle are the same. But when a fight starts, it seals you off
into this corner.
Has a fake load screen where it's just camera pans and enemies load in. It's not quite a random battle, but it's in between.
And then your environment.
And it'll let you change minor controls like for just traversal or just that, you know.
Depending on how big the environment is, you know, the downsides of that is the same with Metal Gear Solid 5, right? Mm. The tailored experience is always a much tighter
one. Yeah, this seems like a nice in-between.
But whatever, we'll see how this works out. There's some interesting stuff like, there's no stamina bar, level design and exploration, similar to Bayonetta with action pieces, but without QTEs. In general, they don't exist.
Yeah, Itsuno's very anti-QTE.
That's fine.
He hates it.
That's fine. Not a Musou game, but there'll be encounters where you're facing more enemies than you're used to. And that makes me think of the PC version of 4.
Where that was...
It's like, what can your
and
computer handle?
And that's in
handle?
Special edition also.
Yeah, what can your computer handle? All right, pop out more.
That game's balance changes weirdly.
When the room is crowded?
When the room is crowded. Certain moves, like all your moves just get factored for like, what's the widest thing I got?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Screw aerial, like, you know?
No, crazy dance.
Yeah.
Crazy dance everything. It's also why, like, there's always a discussion of like, why do they love Nero so much as opposed to Dante and stuff? And I'm like, there's tons of reasons, but... like it's a lot of them are just a direct comparison, and I will always take Streak over Stinger.
Yeah,
because it's got the spit on it.
Yeah, especially the Max X Streak.
So you
and Table Hopper's amazing.
There will be some online integration, but definitely no PvP.
That's good.
That's fine. Dodge system is being reworked, and dodging in general is supposed to be a lot smoother. Get ready to hear the word smooth.
They're,
a lot
they're
referring
taking
to this
fourth.
Game
so time. You know what I hear on that? I hear they're taking Bayonetta's dodge system.
Oh yeah,
like that's what I see when I see that.
You know,
because the dodge system in Devil May Cry is clunky as shit. It's bad.
It's never been a factor really.
Jumping is almost always superior.
You
than
always
dodging.
You and or block even or like or something with a hit
and you can jump
an absorb on it.
Right. Anything, so you know, like
I honestly like they could take the angel dodges from DMC if they wanted, and that would still be superior.
Well, they already have like a metric for this with Trickster.
Mm-hmm.
Like just say fuck it, everyone got really good, and Trickster is kind of integrated into the game as a button,
teleports and such. There's a lot of ways to handle it, but it's true.
I even Bayo's like the default Trickster dodge that you just get a second of invincibility.
But Bayo's is like crucial to gameplay and makes it fun.
Yeah.
So like I think that's the right way to go.
I think it would be plenty unique if it just didn't give you Witch Time, if it was just dodge.
Because
Witch Time in DMC is like you already
it would
hang
be, would
time
it,
in that game.
Would it be OP?
Devil Time though.
Would it be OP? I wonder. Maybe here's what you do. It doesn't slow you down, but it gives you DT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A perfectly timed one gives you DT.
Gives you DT.
And that's an upgrade that you unlock later on with orbs.
Done.
Great. Done.
Camera pulls back during big fights. Devs are really proud of this new dynamic camera system.
That's interesting because the cameras have always been hit or miss.
Yeah, it depends on the environment, right? In some areas, like let's say the city courtyard in 4, I think about where you've got to pan back to see the giant area.
Yeah,
We already are kind of used to the pullback there. Mm-hmm. But if you're in like a tight hallway, then
it gets real close.
Yeah, and in DMC 1, you'd be jumping out of the camera.
DMC 1's camera is bad,
you know, because they still were playing
it's
like Resident Evil.
Because it uses the Resident Evil
it's just
angles.
It's not going to be optimal for fighting.
Animations are less stiff. Big emphasis on cloth
smooth.
Physics. Yeah,
someone
smooth.
Maybe Dante's sword will not be clipping through his jacket now. Battles are beautiful. Mission ranking system similar to previous games. Bosses being ramped up. One boss moves between multiple areas of the game.
Style system is in for Dante. Enemies will react a bit differently to each style.
That sentence is really interesting to me. Because it says that it's in for Dante. Which makes me feel like the other two will get
their own shit.
Their own systems. And it makes sense because they toyed with that with Virgil in SE.
Yeah.
He still uses the style system, but his style bar works completely differently.
His Dark Slayer stuff is not at all like Dante's.
Yeah, it's a totally different system.
I really do. I hope that they take all those little ideas and push them so that they're max different, you know? Ryu and Kennet.
Well, I can see
where they end up being super far away from each other.
I can see Dante and Virgil's being completely different. I can see Nero as being a synthesis of the other two.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that's what he is. He's literally red and blue.
Yes, but he works out to be his own type of character, I feel. Moveset-wise.
Here's Nero. You ready? You build up style meter, and unlike the other two, you cash it out with throws.
You cash it out. And your gun matters.
Yeah.
You know, in not just an insignificant way. Bosses being ramped up. Style system's in. Style system has been streamlined to be smoother. Smooth.
This should be called Devil May Cry Smooth.
Slipping and sliding out of your chair. Smooth, yeah. Certain styles will have advantage on certain enemies, similar to DMC and DMC3.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You can use a single style. All right, most environment interactivity, more interactivity in the environment than any previous DMC game. And there's some form of dynamic environment destruction in play, but not on the scale of Limbo.
Yeah, that's just fancy levels.
And of course, while it's not an open world game, inspirations are taken from Dragon's Dogma.
Good.
Which makes sense because that's what the team worked on. So
and
they know
that,
how to do
and
that kind
that
of game.
That game
now.
Is fantastic in its own right.
This sounds fucking great.
Could you imagine if the pawn system was in Devil May Cry V?
Who would you make or get?
You would make your Dante's kid. Yeah, Dante knocks some girl up, and you make Dante's kid, and everybody makes a different Dante's kid.
I hope his name is Dante's kid.
No, it's Sonic. Mm. And you have to teach that character how to do sick combos.
Okay.
And then they can go to other people's worlds and do sick combos that you taught.
Okay, I like the idea of some custom customizing, but I don't like that bullshit. So what I would say is I want a character creator screen that is creating your DT, or at the very least customizing how it works by picking different elements that changes.
Oh, you
the
want
bug.
That Devil May Cry 2 thing, huh?
If you want, because that's what I'm saying, is if you want the bug, you get the bug. If you want the dreadnought armor, you get the dreadnought armor.
Yeah.
You know, and there's different ways to play it, but you can pop different types of
I
DTs.
Want my DT to have super armor 100%.
Do you want floating Nello Angelo behind you as a stand?
Yeah.
Or do you want the arm to just take over the rest?
See, I completely disagree. I want them to be all like designed and unique, and I want them to stay as different as possible. And I want Virgil's to be completely different from Dante's. Because I thought the difference between Dante and Nero's DTs was the best.
Yeah.
Nero, Virgil deserves
something,
like,
else entirely.
Something else.
Yeah, I agree.
There should just be a straight up character creator, though.
Mm.
So I want.
Too many.
No, I want, like. I
too
want,
many
like,
mistakes possible.
Prego,
yeah.
Sparta,
Kai. The Rebel King Demon.
And make all your Devil May Cry OCs.
So there we go. That's what we got to get to is one Sparta purple jacket. He's got to have some sort of something, I really hope.
Some sort of something.
Second, find a way to fix the Nello Angelo timeline issue. Because I just
have him say I'm better now.
Because you know for a fact that everyone probably really, really hates the fact that Virgil died in the first game. You know, that's probably a huge bummer for everyone going forward.
He clearly
didn't for real. Yeah. But he still had that weird, like.
I got it.
So do something with that.
Dante beat him up real bad, right?
Hurt him.
And then when Dante kicked Mundus's ass again, Virgil was released from the Nello Angelo curse.
His soul was ripped out to make Nello Angelo, but his body still exists.
And so that's why Virgil actually has a slightly different design this time, because he got a new body.
But that's the thing, is that what I'm saying about the demon thing is that, like, there's already multiple demon designs for these characters.
Yeah.
So they do switch and pop forms across the franchise.
I hope they
anyway.
Give Virgil a little hat.
Yeah.
What kind of hat?
Oh, like a fedora.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And he drives a cool car.
You know what? You know what? He'd be the only one that could pull it off.
Dude.
That version with Dan Salisbury.
If the Virgil Mobile is in this car, that would be the sickest.
Bully, do you remember that the Virgil Mobile has a big computer screen in it with a big blue V in it?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Dude, if there was a Virgil Mobile like action like playset, you would get it yesterday.
Yeah.
So
you know what I do remember though is that,
and he calls summon swords like he summons swords, but it's like a cartoon face on a sword, like the clip art dude.
Yeah, but then we can have really realistic like CW style teen conversations, like where you say its lines dramatically but understated so that they sound realistic. Like, you're my brother. You just kind of give it a weird look, and then the camera lingers, and you walk off camera.
Hey, here's the question. Here's my big question. So, Ninja Theory, even though they made a decent game, they could not handle not throwing shade at the old series in the first level
with the mop
getting on his head.
Mm-hmm.
This better do the same.
God, I want the reverse so bad.
I want these people, I want Itsuno and team to embrace it and actually give you a jacket that you can put on.
Yeah.
Right?
It says loser jacket.
And like, no. Just it's a jacket you can put on, and maybe you find it in a weird location.
Oh, do you want it to be like classy?
I want him to just we're not on your level.
It's you find Dante finds the jacket, the same jacket, it's got the thing, and he puts it on
the Nephilim jacket,
and like Nero goes, it's not quite you, and he goes, yeah, and he puts it back.
Knowing Japan, more likely they'd like have him like kind of just look in a mirror for a second, and well, it's the same thing really. It's pretty much the same moment at the end of the day.
Look in the mirror is like, boy, I sure love my white hair.
Yeah, make a weird face, and then
or Dante and Virgil are speaking, and there's this huge vending machine that's selling virility, and Virgil's like, "Oh, who would ever drink that?" And it pans over to Dante, and he's got like three, and he's
I got one. I got one. It's great. I got it. Where fucking Virgil and Dante are hanging out, and they're having a beer, right? This is in the game.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And they're like, "Hey, Dante." He's like, "What? You remember when you were like younger and you dyed your hair, man? You look like a jackass." And he's just like, yeah.
And then they move on.
Yeah.
Maybe the TV can come on and it can show Bob.
Bob, yeah, the newscaster Bob, guy. Bob,
whatever his name is. Barker? Not Barker.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure. All right. So DMCV is happening, and that sounds rad.
It couldn't be happening more.
This is the best, like, Nero's the best Poochie that ever Poochied.
Ever.
He's the best Poochie.
Oh, I don't even think he's Poochie at that point.
He's such a Poochie.
He's the Poochie.
But you can't Poochie when your characters are already Poochies.
Yeah, you're right. He's right. They're all Poochie.
It's Devil May Poochie. Poochie May Cries.
Because
they
like,
came in on skateboards on day one.
One's the cool, quiet one. Yeah, is so cool.
If everyone's Poochie, no one is.
These characters are like, they're not even made out of cardboard. They're so two-dimensional. Like, all they exist to be is cool.
Yeah. I get, because I'm trying to think, like, if anyone tried to write in a third dude to hang out with Mugen and Jin in Samurai Champloo, it'd be terrible, right?
Yeah, he's really cool, but he's also serious.
What do you do with that? You just give it up because it's garbage. It's a terrible idea.
He has a gun, but it's a different gun.
He's really cool, but hates to care about being cool.
What's also a great idea is the possibility that
you saw this, huh?
A macadamia game is on the way.
Macadamia nut the game.
So let's. This is Bandai Namco not knowing how to tease things because it makes things too easy. They put up a teaser website with a countdown, and the only image was a fucking egg and a microwave. And you're like, oh no, what's that? Unless you've watched Hero or read Hero Academia, and then you know exactly what the fuck it is. But then, like, if you dive into the fucking website, like, My Hero
it's
Academia.
M-H-A-O-J.
It's just like
dot Bandai Namco Entertainment.
My Hero Academia Original Justice probably is the name of that game.
Yeah.
Please. Please be a fighting game.
It would be a good idea.
I'm not sure if they'd make another fighting game. Just like they would maybe if like DBZ Fighters has been out for a while.
Well, its development's wrapping up, right?
But this is an anime title.
That's what I mean. Like One Piece has had a million fighting games, but it's had a million not fighting games. Same thing for DBZ. No. It could literally be anything.
Academia.
Watch it be a Musou.
It's going to hit. It's going to enter just like all the other animes, Musou, and it's going to become like so one of 30 Musou. Types of My Hero Academia games, and there's going to be tons of forgettable
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, there's going to be there will be a fighting game for sure.
And one or two of them is going to be good, and then that'll be it. You know,
because like that's a fighting game cast list.
Also, yeah, of course, well, here's one thing. Like SureYouCan.com reported on it, like preemptively jumping the gun.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know what this is, but they're like, hey, we're SureYouCan.com.
But I think that's more like, well, Namco puts out fighting games, so why would we cover the possibility?
It is more likely, as this SRK article puts out, it's probably like a Naruto 3D fighting game, because they're trying to get in on the new hotness, because it might be the new Naruto. Or whatever.
Yeah, it could just be an arena fighter.
A lot of potential. A lot of potential.
Mm. I mainstain.
Yeah, you do.
A lot of people are going to mainstain.
Yeah. I hope a lot of people dress as Stain while they play as
him. You know why? Because Stain's fucking power is completely busted in versus play.
Right.
You'd have to give it trade-offs, right? So... If he, you know, well, whatever. Yeah. I'm like designing the system in my head for how he'd work. And like, obviously, like, yeah, you'd have like special attacks that like would be like blood slashes.
Yeah.
You know, and then from there you
cash it in.
But the cash in takes a while now, doesn't
it? It does.
You've got to back off and taunt. Well,
the problem is that
you've got to back off and taunt before his power works.
He's got like a built in like tier list against who his power works well against.
I mean, at the end universal purposes.
That's the dumbest to try to implement in an action.
Yeah. Like you say he's strong, but if you have to jump back and you know, then suddenly Stain's not as viable as you thought. So you figure it out.
Please be a fighting game.
Please be a good game at the end of the day.
Okay, please be a good game.
Froppy top tier?
Froppy always top tier, even if she sucks. She got that second stomach.
So, I'm not sure if this applies to us or just Japan, but it's pretty big.
It applies
news.
To everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's everywhere.
Well, Demon's Souls is officially coming to an end on February 28th.
Yep.
And if you didn't catch it.
Its life has been extended
9 years now.
Times,
and,
right?
And US and EU servers have also announced that shit will be coming down either... like that same day or a week later or a week earlier. Yeah.
So expect one final giant return to whatever the place is called. What's the land called again?
Bulletaria.
Yeah. Event for on the Reddit communities.
Here's the thing, right? I was looking at, I found out about this because I follow Epic Name Bro on Twitter. And Epic Name Bro was like doing the digging, like, wait, are they just shutting down Japan? Are they just shutting down US? And he posts like, huh, so they're shutting down it in every region simultaneously immediately before the end of the fiscal quarter.
Wishful thinking.
So most likely these are getting shut down before the end of the fiscal quarter so that you can say that you saved money, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of your fiscal quarter. But it could also mean that it's getting a PS4 re-release. Not a remaster or anything like that, just a re-release. And that the new servers will transfer over to that or whatever.
Certainly possible.
That is wishful thinking, however.
Yeah. Not to mention that, like... you know what? I don't know. I just don't know enough. But, like, is putting out... like, despite the fact that there's a hardcore audience for it... comparing it to their to other games happening and such, is it a good idea? Like, is it something that they would be like, financially, we should put out Demon's Souls again?
I'm going to armchair CEO for a bit, and you can do, let's say, PlayStation 4 re-release. Development time would be put into changing the way
PC's not going to happen. It's a Sony game.
You change the way the multiplayer works so that it doesn't need servers anymore, right? And then you go, you never heard of it, but play the game that started it all and do that shit.
You never heard of it.
Right?
People right. heard of it by
and
now.
And you can, the hardest of them all, you know, whatever the fuck.
The original Dark Souls.
Whatever.
Yeah. Prepare to die again.
Kingsfield?
Shadow Tower?
Kingsfield 2's the real beginning.
I mean, what are we doing here? You know?
But for real, though, Demon's Souls is the one that, like, started it all.
I know. I just... Yeah, I don't know if...
You're like, also right.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's enough of that hardcore dedicated niche. Like, I don't know if there's enough people there
well,
for them to make a
remember,
full-on
this game
movement.
Is the one that, like people said, there isn't enough people, there isn't a hardcore enough dedicated niche for this game, and then it did gangbusters according to its original expectations.
Fair enough. And hey, if
like that's the story of Souls, you know?
And you know, if you can bring back Vib Ribbon.
Yeah, anything can come back.
You're right.
So, who knows?
Don't die, Demon Souls.
No, I'm sure...
You can die here.
I'm sure that, dead or not, fans will find a way. You know,
maybe it's on the PS3 and that's goofy,
but dude, like fucking Subsistence continued. You know what I mean? Like, people are dedicated to
this. I was just reading a
shit.
Thing where people are still playing 2005's like Spies versus Mercs and Chaos.
Oh, Theory. Yeah,
even though you shouldn't be able to, but
so there like, you go,
you can do it.
Resilience of the fandom is not to be doubted, and of the Souls fandom, come on.
I would like PS4.
A lot of
people.
Yeah,
I mean,
would.
That makes the most sense.
Quantum VR Treadmill is something being worked on right now. Way too huge and ridiculous to be sold on a personal level.
You Unless mean, you're some you kind about? Of massive asshole or
but,
something.
But, like, as far as from, like, a Raw Thrills arcade style setup thing.
Oh, yeah.
What you've
actually,
got is this machine.
Expensive cabinet.
What you've got is this machine with a, 360 directional treadmill. That lets you walk in all directions and
it's
has sensitivity
neat.
Towards you walking or running even.
See, that's the solution to VR, but it's a totally impractical home solution.
Yep. And it even blows wind in the directions that you move.
That's neat.
As you move in those directions or run in those directions.
It's interesting because arcade games for years, like, you know, you play the Arctic Thunder and it blew cold air in your face. Then you played that one police shooting game.
Yes.
Where you had to duck under shots.
Or you play that horror game, what's it called?
Room Escape 4D
or
something.
Yeah, where it shoots piss in your face.
Yeah, it shoots a bunch of piss in your face.
Yeah. That's what it does. It shoots a bunch of piss.
They have to refill the jugs in the back. Back
it's
of the cabinet.
It's Munster piss.
Yeah. So, like, it's neat that this, like, if that actually or, like, a more commercially viable version came out in, like, arcades, I'd fucking play that.
I'm actually kind of more interested in the 360-degree treadmill and the idea that you can make one twice as big and then trap someone on it.
I suppose.
I mean, what I'm curious about, because the plate leans and such for incline to simulate, like, bumps in the road and hills and valleys.
Neat.
So it seems like your feet, the gear on your feet, kind of slide around instead of actually like.
Hope you don't slip.
So it seems like you can slip a bit.
Oh
but
yeah.
But in the picture there's a like a safety railing around your waist.
Oh,
area.
I thought you were gonna say there's a picture of a guy eating shit and he's on the floor crying.
And there's blood.
If you eat shit with your VR headset, like you're double eating shit.
Yeah, eating shit's
not viable. If
anything,
it looks like it'll rip off your face.
Yeah.
If you fall.
Don't
Some
eat that.
Testing needs to be done, but the ability to...
Why is the guy behind him in the photo wearing a gas mask?
I think this might
Is it like that big of
a
prototype?
There's a rig in front of him of some kind.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he's just got a black cough protector mask. Maybe that's what it is.
That's a cool...
Yeah, so that might make things interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
There definitely are more and more VR arcades popping up in different cities, I've noticed. Mm. Like in over in Netherlands and like over in the States as well. Like, you can walk by a city block and just see like a small room with a dedicated couple of VR setups.
Like
with
Samsung Gear VR.
Yeah, with
little pop-up stores.
With like proprietary games and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting. What's going on with you, buddy?
I just realized this thing has a serious design flaw that can't be fixed.
What's that?
What happens when the power goes out and you're running somewhere? You're blind and you just hit the railing and just tumble over blind?
I think like, you mean like when an arcade machine just like breaks down? Do you mean
no,
like
I know, when because power in the building?
No, because there's no actual belt on it.
Okay.
So it's not spinning. It's despite the fact that it's called a treadmill, it looks like your feet slide with friction along the domed.
Yeah, okay. It's not constantly moving.
Yeah. Because no, that would be bad.
Nice try.
So also, this image of somebody on a treadmill and the power goes out, and they just slam into a wall.
Also, treadmills have like to prevent that. They have like
10 seconds of battery.
Keeps rolling and whatnot. Oh, so
that's unfortunate. That'd be funnier.
Well. Doesn't stop people from getting hurt.
I'm gonna make people, I'm gonna make a treadmill
get hurt in whatever way they like.
Ask Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Oof.
Sucks. Shit sucks, man.
Hey, I'm the one who went there first many years ago.
You did.
And the tattoo of a treadmill on your face.
That was really like what the hell. so also.
Oh, that's bad.
This was interesting.
Oh man, shouldn't have.
Deep Sky Derelict.
What the hell is this?
This is Darkest Dungeon.
In the space.
So the art style is presented as a comic book, and the battle system is presented as a comic book as well. But what you're effectively getting is, Darkest Dungeon in space.
Well, that makes sense. Fine. Space is the biggest dungeon.
Yeah. A dungeon you can't escape.
So, oh, that is super cool art style. It looks like a comic book.
Yeah, and there's panels for the actions.
Fucking punching that space worm in the face.
It also very, very much looks like Darkest Dungeon in space, like art-wise.
It looks like Jay Lee did the art to some degree, minus like
I can see that.
Some of the shading. But
it actually kind of reminds me of like a space version of the old PC superhero game Freedom Force, not Freedom Force, but the MMO. It was like a Diablo like.
That's
thing.
Freedom Force, man.
Like not City of Heroes.
Okay. Then what's the third person action game that IO Interactive did that we constantly reference? With the one that had the cover system, and they only made the one Freedom Fighters.
Oh, Freedom Fighters.
Okay, yeah. Was that what that was?
Well, it wasn't a superhero game, but it was like Cold War stuff.
Yeah, but no, I mean,
America.
I'm describing two games. Whatever. There was like this old game that used the comic book art style, like, and yeah, while it's a lot like
Red
Darkest
Faction 2?
No, it's fine. The Freedom Force in the Third Reich or something.
Yeah, no, so that's this is a
actually,
game.
Yeah.
I think this is actually available right now on Steam.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, if you wanted to see some interesting, again, Space Darkest Dungeon.
Deep Sky Derelicts is also a good name.
Sparkus. I don't like the word sky if it has to do with space, though.
Well, it's the deep sky space.
Yeah, when you think about
it. See, you look at
but then why not call it Deep Space Derelicts?
No, because space is the ocean above you.
Yeah.
That's why you have ships.
I don't like the word sky when it comes to space.
Yeah.
I guess I can't even fault you.
No man's space.
You're totally right.
On Earth, we call it the shit ocean.
Hate that up there, that stuff.
Oh, look. Oh, you're from Mars. You're from deep in the shit ocean.
Matt told me about this a while back, and it's gotten a trailer. We're looking at Body of Evidence.
What the fuck is this?
Puzzle game that's a post-murder cleanup game.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. I told you about a different game that was sort of like this.
Oh, wait. What was the game you were telling me about?
Viscera Cleanup. But this looks cool.
Oh, jeez. I thought this was...
This no, also that, looks that, cool.
That's a very different game. This looks neat. So this is about like a murder... like
yeah, and again, one. I guess this is becoming a thing because Serial Cleaner was a 2D quick like game where you had to run around the scene. We played a one-off of it where we had to mop up the blood and hide the bodies in a kind of like cartoony way. This looks a little bit more realistic, I suppose. Yeah,
hide the body, clean the blood.
This is being presented as a puzzle game. So I guess it's like it's not like the others are more like espionage.
The Viscera Cleanup thing was more of a Portal style thing where it has the Portal humor and you're like going in after like a dumb sci-fi battle where everyone died or like there was industrial accidents. This seems more like a murder mystery thing.
Yeah, but I mean you're coming in as the cleanup guy.
Yeah.
You're playing as the wolf.
So, yeah. So I guess body cleaning is now a genre.
Yeah, everyone loves it. It's everyone's fantasy to clean up bodies.
And move dead ones.
We're all super tired of blowing away.
Things up. And I want to see the consequences of my actions now. There you go.
Be responsible.
But yeah, I've never heard of this one. So that's a find.
Yeah, this is pretty early on. It's looking.
Kind of reminds me of Killer 7.
It's coming out next
bit.
Year.
Yeah, it's because of the shading.
Yeah.
The brown.
Super flat.
Super flat, black.
Kind of flattish. It looks neat.
So yeah, that's quarter two, 2018. Everybody had some footage of Monster Hunter World, and that's all fine and dandy. But most importantly, they showed off the character creator.
Oh, you didn't see the character creator? This is old news.
Is this?
Oh, yeah, but I guess this is the first time you're seeing it.
Because
so
I'm like, let's get down to brass tacks here.
So the character creator has been notoriously awful because it's a PS2 game.
What? I'm like, what are we rocking with when it comes to these options?
But you're rocking a lot of options.
I'm seeing a little bit of Black Desert.
Yeah.
Even in the design of the heads kind of looks a little bit like Black Desert. Yeah, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks great.
That's a lot of options.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Capcom got its fucking feet super wet with the extensive character creator shit with Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they can just use most of that like know-how and shit and just bring it over.
But I mean, that's a completely different team, right?
Yeah, but I mean, technology, whatever. Whatever. Monster Hunter's always had... It's weird because everything about Monster Hunter's always felt cheap because it's, you know, handheld games.
It also
now it's expensive.
It also like feels like it's a thing that happens outside of Capcom in the way that Pokemon doesn't feel like a Nintendo product.
Yeah,
I get that sort of.
I should also mention this is one of those character creators that is like astonishing in its pointlessness.
Yeah,
your character will be wearing a helmet for 99% of all playtime. Yeah.
It's knowing what's on the man or woman that lies underneath.
Do you think you can? Is there like a toggle so that you can do like helmet off? Even
then, maybe they will do that.
Right?
Maybe they will do the thing where
cosmetics
or Destiny does, where your helmet comes off in the social area,
yeah.
Or it lets them open up more armor sets designs to incorporate the character's face.
Invisible armor.
Like
just give us invisible armor.
So like here's a really good example, Wolves, in Monster Hunter in Infinite, right? That armor is accurate. The female Rathalos set has an open face. The male Rathalos set does not. The closed face. It's possible that if they put all the money into a fancy character creator, more armor sets will have an open face.
Also, cool. I'm not sure if it's new in this game, but in Assassin's Creed Origins, if you get a hood, there's just a button that you toggle if you always want to play with your hood down.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not sure if it's new in that.
Yeah, because see, Bayek didn't put the rules in place that your hood always has to be up yet.
Yeah.
So
no one cares.
So he's like, I'm going to put it down.
Yeah, you can do what you want.
Until I make the rule. The character creator detail also extends to your Palico, which is pretty funny.
Cool. Helmet toggle apparently was confirmed a couple weeks back. So
oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
That's legit.
Smart. Smart. Because, yeah, you'd put all this work into something that you never get to see. Like, what's the point? That was, I got first introduced to that in Reckoning, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Whereas, like, you just go into options and there was a thing that was, like, helmet invisible, yes or no.
I forgot about Reckoning.
Yeah. A lot of people do, and I don't blame them, but...
Because it's forgettable.
Yep, but it wasn't poor.
It wasn't poor.
Yeah. That's what it's going to say on the Justice League DVDs.
Not poor.
Encouraging. Does its job.
Ambitious.
You want to talk about ambitious?
I do.
I'll show you ambitious.
That should be something really not ambitious.
That's really ambitious.
Oh, wait. This is really ambitious.
It's really ambitious.
This is the most ambitious thing you've ever seen.
For nothing.
Yeah. For some
just
YouTube
hits. Just for entertainment
What are
value.
We talking about?
Talking about Cup Souls, the animation, in which a guy did somebody, so I don't know who they are, did a minute.
64 bits,
did a 1.5 minute animated little thing of what if Dark Souls was Cuphead animated, and just animated a bunch of boss fights as if Solaire and Oscar are running around doing stuff, and it is immaculate in its quality.
It's like... There is no shortcuts.
Skeleton ball!
There is no shortcuts taken. It is fully, fully detailed and animated, exactly like Cuphead style. And it's fantastic.
And it has a little bit of here and there from every game.
Yeah, as it should.
I actively wish...
That one's good.
I actively wish we could do Steam Workshop PC mods for some funsies like this.
That'd be a lot of work, but it'd be so worth it.
Man, go check out the video. It's 64 bits cup souls.
It's so good.
And yeah, it's fantastic effort, fantastic work. Everybody needs to see it. And then Bonfire Chan making an appearance.
Yeah, kind of.
Our character.
Looking very sad.
So, fun stuff.
Oh, no, I faded away.
That thing is, man. When I saw that, I ignored it because I thought it was a bunch of still images.
Yeah,
me I thought
too.
It was
right,
art.
Right, right, right.
And then I,
yeah, we got a, we got a bunch of Cuphead like still images of things, but.
And then I clicked on it once and I was like,
all right. Now you could give us the front, the front trenches of this Destiny 2 Bungie experience bullshit. Because reading it, what it sounds like to me. Is the story is that for some reason when you hit level 20, your XP scales down so that you make like less and less of it depending on how fast you kill things.
No. So, kind of. So the way that it works is Destiny has a level cap of 20, but after 20, you continue to gain experience. When you hit level 21, or what would be level 21, you instead of gaining level, you gain a Bright Engram, which is the game's loot box, right? And every week, the first three levels, I believe, are faster than others, right? So it's Overwatch-ish or anything else. You get a level, you get a loot box, right? So last week, it got discovered by a very attentive player who'd said, oh, I'm going to grind out a bunch of public events.
And his methods were incredible.
And record some data. And he discovered that the game has a fairly... I was going to say aggressive, but I'm actually going to extreme thing that a lot of MMOs have, which is a rest system, which the longer you play, the less experience you earn. But this shit is off the charts. It's like after a certain amount of time, like if XP becomes worth like 4% of its original value.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And the layman would look at that and go, oh, you make less XP the more you grind. Therefore... you buy a loot box.
Yeah.
Right? Now, people were very cynical about this and said, Bungie's going to come out and say, oh, it's not working as intended. And sure enough, Bungie came out and said, the system is not working as intended. We intended it to scale up when you did things that took a long time, like the raid or a strike.
If you killed enemies one at a time, you lost no XP.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed they said if you wait for the cash out to appear after each kill, you could get 100% of what
But if you do fast grinding stuff, no. And like that already exists in the game very clearly in that there's a type of token you can get from a chest that you cash in at vendors for rolls on their gear. If you grab too many chests in too short of a time without leaving the area,
chest cooldown,
chest just gives you nothing.
You get empty chests because you grab too many.
Yeah. So that's in the game, but that's like not you can't buy that stuff. It's literally just stop you from grinding.
Now,
so then they
to my understanding though, this is even worse because despite the fact that that's happening in your bar, which you can only measure by pixels,
yes,
right,
because there's no number
shortens to that degree. The number of experience displayed is the fake number.
Yeah,
says you're getting.
It was the idealized number, not the real one. So quite bad. So Bungie says, "Oh, it's not working as intended." Yada yada yada. We're gonna turn that thing off. And then, to their credit, like less than a day later, they turned it off. New studies by people have discovered that when they turned it off. They basically globally cut experience for every single thing in the game by like 50%. Well, because now it's not scaling for player activity, so there's no way we're going to let people earn like more XP than before
because they level up too fast.
Because they level up too fast and get too many loot boxes for free. It is punishing
you for playing the game.
It is Destiny's biggest problem, and it's been classified by a lot of people as an incentives problem.
Yeah, this
because all the fancy stuff, all the fancy shaders, all the fancy mounts, all the fancy ships, they're all in the microtransaction store. You can't get any of them via normal means.
The reporting on this hasn't framed it as something related to loot boxes, or at least part of that economy.
That's absurd. It is absolutely loot box based.
That is just another upsetting thing that Scott called out.
Yep. And it's pretty clear to me anyway, I might be wrong, but the reason why this changed so fast, and it'll probably change more because there's an expansion coming out and they have their live designer talking about how there are going to be large mechanical changes to stuff like this in the near future, hopefully as well to the faction guys, the rep people. Because in Destiny 1, when you gave in rep to a vendor, you would eventually earn the ability to just buy whatever they sold.
Okay.
Right? So, but now in Destiny 2, you give in the rep tokens, and you just get a roll on their gear. And it's like, all I need is the helmet from Iron Banner. I don't need another fucking pair of boots. Just let me fucking buy the helmet. You know? Mm-hmm. So stuff like that is going to change. This is so obviously the fucking loot box shit. And it's disappointing. And I think the only reason that this changed so quickly is because, A, they were ready to do it when they eventually got caught, which they knew they were going to.
They're
going
to wait and see if we get caught.
And, it was very quickly.
And B, they changed it so fast after getting caught because of the shit with Battlefront.
They had it ready to go. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because even if it was not ready to go beforehand, when they saw the Battlefront shit, they're like, oh, we got to be like, woof.
And again, the way the guy measured it was basically by taking screenshots and measuring pixels in terms of EXP bar growth.
Yeah.
And just a lie number being displayed, which is...
It's a shame.
Incredible.
It's a real shame because I really enjoy the game quite a bit, but it's a total...
Can't get away from it.
It's a total black eye, and it's like... This is considerably less evil than Battlefront because Battlefront's whole fucking game
is based around it.
It's fucked, but like Destiny, it's a loot game, and a bunch of the loot incentives are lost due to the system.
But you know, at the end of the day, Bungie's a small company. They don't have time. They don't have time to fix it.
And
you know,
they don't have time to work on these problems.
They're an inexperienced team. They've only been around for 20 years.
No. The quote is, Bungie's a small indie company that doesn't have time to work on these types of problems.
Where's that quote come from?
That's like the Destiny forums when Destiny 1 came out.
Well, Destiny 2's forums are very different now. They are Destiny 1 players that are crazed and upset that Destiny 2 is different in these ways.
Mm. Well...
And they're not completely wrong either.
Now that...
What's this guy's fucking name?
His name is Hero.
Energizer
X.
Good for him.
And yeah, and they came out and had their little prepared message.
That they had copied on the clipboard.
Yeah.
They pressed Control-V.
So Sterling pointed out when he was looking at this, I think it was Sterling, but probably... Where it's like, it's becoming more and more and more obvious how ready these statements were and how ready to hit a button and make it go away it is.
A lot of people have a lot of prepared statements these days.
I prepared a statement for that. You know?
Like, it's ridiculous. And the whole, like, why are you outraged? We fixed the problem.
The thing that was not working as intended.
Mm-hmm. And the portrayal, the thing that actually grosses me out, like, the, you know, I kind of get it. Like, MMOs do this exact system, but they're honest about it, so no one cares.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And you could buy levels in MMOs now. It's very common, right? But they hit it, and then they try and portray it as like, oh, the system we were working on wasn't working out. And we just happened to be fed up with it at the exact same time that everyone else was fed up about it, which was the same time that the system got found out. Like, it's so patronizing. It's so condescending.
I also think that MMOs are in a different place because the people playing them know that they're paying for an ongoing service as opposed to the $60 argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you still have to pay $60 to buy an MMO.
No. Yes. But the idea that you're buying into the subscription at the end is... innately different from your expectation of the complete package.
The explanation of Destiny's microtransactions has been explained away as that's what pays for the live update team instead of a subscription. But their live updates are not great. So their expansions are decent, but their live updates are minor. So.
I think it's kind of funny. Like back in 2008, Tales of Vesperia came out and it was like one of, if not, I don't know, the first game that's like, maybe you buy some levels.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, ooh, gross. And now every major
Okay, well, I'll tell
you. AAA game that's come out in the last couple months has some type of buy your levels.
I'll tell you.
Assassin's Creed.
Well, the fun part is that you can
buy levels.
Like, these are all games that have been worked on for years. So, like, they're all coming down the pipeline, gold mastered,
yeah,
with these things ready to go. And, yeah, like, up ahead, there's a huge fire on the highway.
And everyone's just kind of like,
And they're like, hit the brakes. So, and they're like, but what?
Think of games that started development exactly 1.5 years ago. Games that are going to be done by the end of this year,
yeah,
that had planned for shit like Battlefront and are now going, God!
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Violently hitting the brakes, pulling the handbrake
if we're delaying it by a year to completely rejigger everything in the fucking game's economy, you know?
But like pulling off on the side of the highway trying to change the car into a different type of vehicle.
Into a boat.
to get off the highway.
Pull off the bumper. Can we change the frame? No. Shit. Matt, I do have one thing to add. The buying levels thing is like Vesperia. I think MMOs did it before then, buy all the way to cap. Because
that's the only time I remember the first hubbub I ever heard
but
about it.
First time I ever saw it was I think I talked about it last time, but the Eternal Sonata.
Yeah.
Where you on 360, where you'd buy gold and buy levels.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was Fable, much, Fable that was 2 much well. After Vesperia. But I will tell you one thing about the culture of an MMO. People look down on those people.
People look down on the people
who buy their way to cap.
So right, that's the interesting thing is in that there's an article I read about like the idea of loot boxes and as gambling and such like that and whatnot and the whole thing with MMOs where it's like people see that and there's a part of the culture where people make fun of you for not displaying patience.
So yeah. it's not,
and that doesn't happen in every type of game.
So there's two reasons for that, right? One is the patience, and it's like you paid extra money to play less, right? And it's just like a value proposition kind of thing. And for the purposes of this, those things in MMOs, like I've been calling them jump potions because the 14 development guys call them that. But whatever. It's because you jump to cap with this item, right? The worry is not so much that, oh, look, Jimmy ruined it for himself. The worry is when you load into a dungeon and you look at your tank's gear and you look at him and you know that's the set. That's the stats that come with the fucking level up to cap button. Mm. This is going to be miserable because they don't know how to play the game. And you're reliant on them to play it to a certain degree to not make your trip through a dungeon 2 hours, right? That's why people look down on those people.
Well, yeah, in a cooperative environment, I can see.
Because you're going into a situation where you have to depend on everybody, and you can tell.
That sounds like a part of it, but there's definitely a part where they're just like, ugh.
Yeah, I'd say it's about half-half.
Yeah.
So in 14, in particular, if you've been playing less than a certain amount of time, there's a green sprout next to your name. And if you see a green sprout in certain areas, you just know.
Yeah.
You just know that person just bought their way up there.
Mm. I saw a screenshot of it because I haven't played enough of it to get to the vendor that sells it. Well, since Assassin's Creed Origins takes place 100 years before Jesus was even a breath on the wind, do you know what the level up item that you buy is called in that?
What?
It's the Tablet of Knowledge.
Interesting.
He just gives it to you.
Interesting.
And I assume Bayek just gets the little yellow power bar that power circle that kind of erupts around him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that in any of it? Like, did you ever get to the vendor that sells the Tablet of Knowledge?
Are you the little kid?
I saw a screenshot of an older guy.
Oh, I don't think I've met that guy.
Okay.
It's weird.
I think it's in one random store in the game.
I've dug real, real deep in that game and I never saw that guy.
Well, in any case, this is something that popped up and within hours almost, an answer was prepared and dropped from Bungie. So players are not going to stand for it, and that's interesting to see. What also is interesting to see is more than just players, but the entire nation of Belgium appears to also be not standing for it.
Yeah, so this is week 3 of Battlefront fucking it up for everybody.
Belgium denounces loot boxes as gambling. Hawaiian legislator calls them predatory.
The Hawaiian the rep or whoever the fuck it is, the guy wearing a suit, the elected representative, calls Battlefront 2 an online casino for your children. A Star Wars online casino for your children.
Star Wars themed.
Those are the words that are going to get right to the angry parents.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, don't let people buy this. And what's more telling, particularly for the U.S., in which they describe, we are talking to people in many states about upcoming legislation about this stuff. So it's
well, Disney got on the phone with EA
and was like, fucking quit.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, why are you associating Star Wars with gambling? Yeah.
Well, and which is funny because they're Star Wars gamble.
Sure.
Yeah.
Belgium's Gaming Commission has ruled that loot boxes, in-game purchases where you receive randomized, are gambling. The country's ministers of justice want to see them banned Europe-wide.
So Europe's weird, and I'm not super sure how that legally works. But as far as I can tell, the European courts go all the way up to through your nation to your European Supreme Court, which decides things legally for the Europe.
Well, let me combo break this story while I'm reading the story.
Okay.
Because even newer, because that was five days ago.
Oh!
But as of yesterday, the UK Gambling Commission determines loot boxes are not gambling under British law.
Well,
so now the EU is at odds based on these two countries' stances.
No, UK is leaving, remember?
Oh, well. Okay,
they're on their way out.
Either way, the UK is like, nah, loot boxes are fine, but Belgium's like, fuck those things.
I'm interested to see.
So this is already playing out in a completely interesting way.
Now, Australia is fully on board with the fucking gambling shit as well. And I think that I saw a quote by somebody going, this is obviously gambling.
Now, here's the problem.
From somebody in a position of power.
Now, here's the problem, though, right, is when you have, like, major markets that are at odds with these types of things, you just get the Australia situation where the company would rather keep their shit in and not release it in those territories than remove it and release it in all.
Right. Which stops working once enough territories kick in.
Go the opposite way on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if Belgium can push it all the way up to Europe, and it's Europe and Australia, that's a lot. Even though Europe's game industry is not, say, North America's or Japan's.
Certainly not. It's
still like a third of the English-speaking, like, population for games.
You're going to have to weigh.
It's big.
You're going to have to weigh your money versus the amount of sales you make in those
and
countries.
And then, like, think of how, like, gaming communities react to stuff like Destiny 2's XP shit and Battlefront stuff. Imagine if they're like, here's the American version of the game with all the gambling shit still in it.
Oh, man.
People
that would be interesting.
Crazy.
Like, if they release two versions. Yeah.
Well, because that's what Blizzard does.
Yeah.
It's China and everybody else.
It's true.
So they can hide the loot box percentages.
Right. 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 Or you put it all into like a separate piece of DLC.
Yeah.
And then you make
that
piece of DLC
pack
unavailable in those countries.
Yeah.
That's the other way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Cut off your nose to
spite
your face.
Like the disc is free of that crap.
Cut off your face and leave
your nose. So it's like, don't download patch XXY2. Because it adds the FOB system into MGS5.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
But only in the U.S. and parts of Europe.
What
a fucking mess.
Let's go through it. So, in Belgium, they decided last week to look into the issue.
Fucking mess.
And, they came to their decision. The ESRB rejected calls to classify loot boxes as gambling.
Fuck off, ESRB. You are literally the organization that is supposed to classify it as gambling.
So they've already made their stance. So the ESRB's real gambling or simulated gambling labels are not going to appear on games that have loot boxes. After ESRB, then Peggy stepped in, took a weaker stance.
That's the European ESRB.
Yeah, Pan-European Gaming Information
Peggy.
Ratings. Yeah, Peggy 18.
It's the only reason I know.
Telling WCCF Tech that only national gambling commissions could decree whether or not something constitutes gambling. Peggy's like, we're not even getting involved.
And
it's a national issue.
I believe
and
Peggy's stance actually includes works for everybody. like the United States Gambling Commission and the Canadian Gambling Commission, the Mexican, you know, everybody, right? Those are the ones, because ESRB is the one saying we're not going to put the label on it, right? But whether or not it's legally classified as gambling is not up to the ESRB. It's up to whatever government agency handles that in whatever country you happen to be, right? So the ESRB might not put the label on it, but then if the Gambling Commission comes down and goes, this is fucking gambling, then you best be sure that the ESRB is going to put the label on it so those games can still be sold.
So every organization is actually kind of like clashing on who has
they're
the power.
All, yeah.
To,
they're all passing the buck unless it's
to,
the
to
ones that,
decision.
That are actually up there, and those are split or and, undecided currently.
Yeah, and who's willing to not be friends with EA and Activision?
So here's the deal, right? here's what I actually see occurring.
And hold on, there's conflicting reports about and translations about what precisely the Gaming Commission has decided. As for per 4gamers.be, Gaines has made his views clear, but contrary to this news report, the commission itself is still investigating. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, go on.
So here's what I see occurring.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of a situation very similar to the YouTube fair use thing.
Yeah.
And it's like nobody wants it to go to court because everybody's much happier with the gray area that we all live in, right? EA and Activision and all those companies don't want to risk
the government getting involved.
The government getting involved.
That's why the ESRB exists.
It is much better in their interests to back it the fuck off
than let it escalate
for quite some time.
Absolutely.
So that this shit goes away.
Absolutely.
Till the heat's off.
Yeah. Because the moment you get to that federal level...
Because the dice roll could go in their favor, and that would be great. But the dice roll could outlaw it forever.
The moment you get to that federal level, you are completely impacting the future of your industry for the foreseeable future.
And I mean, say EA rolls the dice and fucks it up. Their other competitors in the industry are going to like want to do everything they can to see that company just die as a result of stealing... trillions of future dollars.
Trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Because those kinds of legal decisions are essentially forever.
Okay. So,
$11 trillion.
Now the UK,
I mean, in the US,
article,
you still can't have gambling on land in a lot of states.
Yeah.
Gotta be in a boat.
Here, in Montreal, if you have gambling machines in your bar, they can only be there if they've been sitting there. When for years now, as a grandfathered in situation,
you know, I think it is that you have to build your bar
around it. Yeah,
you can't make a bar and install a new video poker machine.
No, but if it was already sitting there when you built the bar,
if there was an empty lot, but there were some lottery machines, some gambling machines, then
those video poker machines are poisonous, man. Yep. They are the worst.
Yeah, and gotcha is the worst.
There have been like attempts on lives to purchase buildings where those video poker machines are still standing. Straight up. So the commission said...
We just have a casino in the city. Just go to the casino.
The UK commission said, while the line between video gaming and gambling is becoming increasingly blurred, its job is to step in when the practice meets the definition of gambling under the UK law. Belgium recently pushed permanently banned loot boxes and established its own gaming commission. Okay. So basically the UK, even though they back down, they're saying that like it's still not a great situation.
They back down and they're like, we're gonna pass this down to the gambling guys and they'll tell us what's what and we'll get back to you. They passed the buck to the gambling commission, which is honestly,
you think in Quebec it'd be up to the Régie d'Alcool? Right, the same.
No, it'd be under the Quebec Gambling Commission.
Well, they handle the lotto stuff here too.
Yeah. Well, hey, guess what? This shit under Quebec law specifically is almost assuredly gambling.
Oh, it's gone. That's what I'm saying.
Live in a place in which this is likely to be gone first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't. Hey, if you're in the States, particularly, you can see a lot of fucking sweepstakes and lottos and shit. You know, you go to a coffee shop and it goes, and at the back it'll say, valid in the U.S. and Canada,
except
Quebec, because Quebec has really, really strict lottery sweepstakes and gambling laws. And in fact, you have to pass the skill testing question.
We are the reason. We are the reason for the skill testing question.
So the skill testing question is, if you win the lottery in Quebec, and in some parts of Canada, I think, but it's mostly Quebec.
I think mostly.
You win the lottery, they give you a simple math question. Now, it's really simple. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 × 3 + 5 or something.
It's to make sure you're not a robot.
But if you don't answer, because you cannot, skill has to be a portion
it,
of
it
winning.
Cannot right. be random chance. Otherwise,
and if
it's
you
completely
fail that
here.
Simple math question,
you do
that
not
money
win.
Is gone.
You don't win the money.
So yep. you better be fucking sure you
yes. be on point. That
right?
so yeah.
So
that,
loot boxes don't have skill testing questions. Yeah. They are skillless by default.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to have like a huge sweepstakes here where they say now juggle for a minute. and then they increase it from 4 items to 5.
Put everything in this one bag, but we don't want the bag to be heavy.
That's the skill. That's how you win the prize. We have it's Quebec's crazy like that.
Whenever I saw a contest that would say there's a skill testing question, I always get real nervous and mm-hmm. I wouldn't even enter.
The cereal box. What,
yeah, 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 yeah. Usually I'll be like, no, nah, man, I can't. Too much pressure.
I would read it and I remember like I'd read it like 5 or 6 times just to make sure.
It's pretty interesting that we're basically living in the petri dish of this current argument, because what's going to happen? Because it's I know the government here has done it before, in which they go, okay, from this date, this thing will no longer be available here.
Games they without English booklets were not available here for a minute.
Yeah, for like a minute.
Like they don't, Quebec doesn't
right?
care.
And there's always this point where it's like, okay, from now on, this is the way it is, right? And so with the packaging stuff, they made the bilingual packaging and then it's fine, right? But there's that month or two where it's too late to change yeah. the games that are on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, there is going to be a period of like a month or 2 months or 3 months in which games like this will just not be available to be sold here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm really interested in seeing what ones those are going to be.
I'm really interested in seeing if they're going to try to stop it on a digital level.
I don't think
it's
you can.
A lot of work.
Because that's why I'm not as worried as I was back in the day when Ninja Gaiden Remake Original was coming out. That was one of the first booklet issue mm-hmm. games because...
really?
Yep. The Ninja Gaiden Original release was...
like the Xbox.
Not yeah, Xbox yeah, okay. Original. Not shipping. It didn't ship with a French booklet. And... it got held up at the game store that we used to have downtown, I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then for a while it was like, are we going to get it here or not? And they're saying we might have to just import American copies, but that means we're selling them at a markup. And we all panicked. And I remember that.
So I remember like Steam and PlayStation Store and all that shit. They ask you for your address for tax purposes, right?
Yeah.
So you could change that, but I mean, Steam, it's really easy to get around the IP lock. And PlayStation Network doesn't currently charge tax, so it doesn't actually matter what fucking location you put your PayPal as.
There's ways around it.
And if that way is so simple as just buying an Ontarian copy
mm-hmm.
from Ottawa, you know.
And lastly, let's take a quick look at a Kickstarter game popped up for a game called Super Mighty Power Man.
Yeah.
And
oh,
it got canceled, but it got canceled
because there was too many publishers interested
yeah.
in gathering up all disappointed Mega Man fans.
Hey, yeah. Hey, listen, you got a Mega Man looking game? Is it Tsuno in your studio? No? All right, you're hired.
Yep, and so what they're doing is, I mean, it was a 50,000-pound goal, right?
Yeah.
So
it's Mega Man.
No,
as
that's
fuck.
Not pounds.
And as the trailer goes on, I was like, you know what? This
it's
looks
French.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, it does.
Because the bosses are kind of like Mega Man X bosses, where they're all animal based,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of the game is still like classic Mega Man, and some of the powers
yeah.
are actually really sick.
No, you're why exactly. So you're watching it, going like, "All right, you're going for the Mega Man thing," but it's like, "No. This looks like he's doing a good job."
The power suits have all move. They all have movement options.
Look at this.
Yeah, yeah. You got a nice little swing on the crab suit.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that it's named Super Mighty Power Man.
There.
Yeah,
perfect.
Little...
You just nailed the exact problem.
I think you could have named it something else. But, maybe it will get named something else.
But it's also a little unfortunate how much the main character looks like a bunch of sprite edits of Mega Man.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, it's a little too close.
Like, look how amazing that boss looks, but Power Man
that boss
look
actually
great.
Looks a lot like he's at a Rocket Knight.
Kind of, yeah.
With the way the arms move.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that there's 20XDX, right? The other
yeah, there's that option
thing,
too.
Multiplayer Mega Man X
Mega
game.
Man fix.
So,
yeah. Really interesting, because usually, you know, a Kickstarter, a nice looking Kickstarter, will get approached, but they'll be quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then get the funds, yeah. And then reveal later that Deep Silver or whoever.
We had a publisher the whole time.
Yeah.
And so, these guys just came right out and went, no, we're out. But they also said it was because they didn't want to overpromise and end up being late.
That's fair.
Never happened.
That's another reason why. So
yeah, when I saw the logo, I was like, but when I watched
gameplay,
the trailer,
looks very
I was
good.
Like, yeah, it looks,
gameplay
it looks
good.
Fun. I'll play that.
Those suits are
some of them are really cute. Like,
yeah. All right. So we got a lot of emails this week.
I read a couple emails last week. They're bad.
Oh,
the ones I read weren't bad.
Were they?
But no, the ones I read were fine.
Oh,
but like, boy, there's a lot of bad emails in there, man.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You don't say.
I do say.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wooly doesn't know about this. This is new.
Well, Wooly uses the dowsing rod to pick the emails.
Yeah.
I've had to resort to time saving methods.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I got a bunch. So
is it mark all delete and then get the one that was on the next page?
That's very good vetting.
Hey, if you want to get your email deleted, send it into superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. And if somehow Wooly misses it,
it goes right to the archive.
Deleted.
Straight into the trash bin.
Right next to Last Guardian.
And all your undead baby file souls.
Oh man, yeah.
Dragged over. All right.
Oh, shit. Sorry, folks.
So let's take...
I hit myself.
One. Nathan says, dear conglomerate of Canadians, longtime writer, first-time listener, if you were an antagonist, would you rather be the kind that hides behind all their henchmen, money, and resources for as long as possible, or would you actively hunt down the protagonist yourself?
All right, so the guy who hides behind people gets it so bad.
Usually.
Always, because he's spent so much time, and the audience is bored by that point.
They get it so bad.
You gotta be actively pursuing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go active pursuit.
And chances are, depending on the setting, your active pursuit might be something that is actually, you're not even a boss, you're an obstacle because you're indestructible.
And then you might get a face turn.
Right? So if you are Mr. X, or if you are the Saint of All Killers, then you're not even a boss. You're just a force of nature that creates a wall that keeps the plot moving.
Yeah.
Because if you wait around too long, then
the wall pushes you forward. Yeah. Yeah, because the guy with behind the henchman, like Belger. Think about poor fucking Belger, how bad he gets it.
Sure, or John Wick. Right? There's so many examples of it. It's very clear that that's the way to do it. That's what I say.
I don't know. Wouldn't you just like speed up your own death by being the one that pursues?
Yeah, but you might not
because if you're the bad guy, you're most like you have the bigger shot of always dying against the hero.
I would say that if you're the obstacle style hunter, there's a small chance you may actually survive and the hero will pass you by and you might become a playable character.
The challenger that shows up and just says, "Hey, what's up? Let's do this," right? That guy always gets a little of some respect, right? Like Nello Angelo showing up and going, snapping his fingers, head bob, and Dante's like, all right, fuck it, let's go.
Another good example is Dark Knight and Shovel Knight versus the evil Empress.
Would you rather be Volgin or Revolver Ocelot, right? Of course you would. He gets to be an old man.
Yeah. Forever.
Pretty much.
Right? And like, any of the... Like, I'm trying to think who's the best example of it. And there's a couple, but, like, of the gung-ho guns, right? The ones that just kind of walk up to Vash and are just like, yo, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know why I'm here, right? Mm. Yeah. All right. Can we do it outside where no one's watching? That's fine, man.
Mm.
Let's walk over there and fucking sort your shit out. Like, those guys, they might come back.
Yeah.
They might come back. So, absolutely. Absolutely. Pursue.
Meanwhile, the Belgers of the world get kicked out of a fucking skyscraper.
Yeah. And land on crying babies.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Oh, man. That's the most brutal movie ending ever.
Wait, yeah. No. I was.
Oh, you weren't referencing something?
I was referencing Fighterpedia. What are you referencing?
I was referencing fucking SPL.
Oh.
Where that totally happens.
All right. We got one coming in from Jordan. He says, good morning, help desk at Heihachi Daycare and Marriage Counseling. The other day, I read a Korean manhwa called The Breaker and its sequel, New Waves. It's a martial arts East Asian style crime drama. Highly recommended, cool. But that's not the point. In the sequel series, the events of the surrounding the ending of the original series lead to a group emerging called Soldiers Under Command. They're a worldwide organization that claws the facets of every facet of the world. Despite their ever-present threat and their very existence, everyone calls them SUC. Or suck. What is the worst case of a threatening villain's impact and greatness being reduced due to some insignificant detail?
Oh, man. Mm. Oh, fuck. Sadler and Alpha is really bad. I remember being a little kid and thinking M. Bison was a stupid name for a villain. Because he's a buffalo. Because
I thought he was supposed to be, like, I thought he had bison powers.
I thought he was a buffalo man.
Because why would you call yourself Bison?
Every match Tatanka ever had. All right, I got it.
Let me think.
Here's
the moment, I'm going to say the moment the Big Show tried to work the mic.
And he started
dropping the last word, and it was just the worst.
He started dropping the last word,
or no, even worse than that would be beefhead,
wrestler.
Yeah.
Just looked at each other.
Ultimate
like,
Warrior.
Just do dumb sword tattoo. Brock Lesnar trying to talk on the mic without Paul Heyman.
Yeah, that's a good example.
And it's already been brought up. Today in this podcast, it's the fucking Virgil mobile.
Sure.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, doesn't ruin it. Virgil hat. But it's in the one game that you don't even care about that much.
Yes.
Here's one that's another wrestling theme one. It's like at a certain age, it's not so much, you know, oh, well, it's fake or whatever. And that wasn't as cool as I thought it was. It was when even before I realized that, yeah, wrestling's maybe not on the level. So, man, Papa Shango's really cool. And then, like, another storyline, they'd be talking about, like, I need to get paid for wrestling. And I'm like, Papa Shango must be paid, too. He's not wrestling for free.
Right,
and then I was like, well, then he's got to go up to, like, a person that gives the checks.
Yeah.
And I was like, doesn't make it cool at all.
Undertaker, the evil wizard, goes down.
Undertaker's the – I first – realize it with Papa Shango because he was new.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, and I never watched pay-per-views, so I didn't see The Undertaker that much. But when, like, I started watching wrestling a little bit more and I was aware of The Undertaker, I'm like, he's got to live. Like, he's got to pay bills. No,
even though he's an undead magic zombie, he's got to pay for gas.
Job's a job.
And even later, even in wrestling today, like they could be like, yeah, what's sports entertainment? But if Dean Ambrose goes, I'm poor, you're in the main event.
Yeah.
You have a title. They don't pay you nothing.
But
it's the biggest kayfabe breaking thing, really, when you think about it.
So tangentially related, but I guess the realization that these characters have paychecks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's weird.
We got one coming in from Matt, and he says, hey, guys, Hi. Has there ever been an anime where you wished the main animation was in the style of the OP?
Almost all of them.
Because that's where the budget is. I think, I don't want the show to look like this, but it would be really cool if GTO looked like its first intro for like a second or just for a moment, because the style, the porno graffiti intro of GTO was super duper dope.
Yeah.
Trying to think of something that has a drastic
I mean, there's the 3D models from JoJo, but I don't think they would look
that cost
great
too much.
A prolonged exposure state.
Yeah, well, almost any 3D.
I think brevity makes those models look good.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
you don't look too hard at Caesar's arm.
Yeah,
That's exactly it, right? Where he's tilted up and he's doing that. Yeah, that exact moment.
Don't look too hard at it.
No, no, no.
Because you can see the elbow in the back and your stretching. Brain goes, wait, what?
Yeah, and the other problem is you'd think that they would 3D models in anime would allow you to have super smooth animation, but it's the exact opposite. The budget allows them to render things out at a really choppy frame rate,
yeah.
Which always made no sense to me because I'd just be like, render it more. Like,
spend more time.
Just render it more. What's the problem? Yeah, anyway, so.
I know, yeah. Kind of one. There's only one game I could think of that actually does it. But, like, you know, in anime or even in Japanese fighting game stuff, like, you know, the intro to Last Blade 2, a character, like, looks like they look in the game, then they turn, and it has this sepia tone. And it looks like they're drawn on parchment.
Yep.
I'd like an entire game.
You're describing Setsuna's moment.
Yes, exactly.
That's my favorite thing.
So, like, an entire game that looks like that, that'd be cool. Or a show or whatever. Like, can you possibly do that for, like, 21 minutes? Then I thought of a game that actually kind of does it, and it's Gunman Clive.
Gunman Clive, yep, that's true.
And that works for that game.
We were all really expecting Street Fighter 4 to look like that insane, yes, Okami, yes, inkbrush thing. Did. And we got a lot.
What we were thinking, though.
We got a lot in the main game, but not as much as we wanted.
Well,
and now, in retrospect, I'm like, that was for the best.
Yeah. I don't think we got a lot. We got focus attacks, then we got when you...
Shoryukens, Tatsus. No. No.
Yeah.
On move effects.
Right.
On move effects, the ink blotch.
Not on all of them, but like a lot of them did have it. Yeah.
On the upwards motion of the Shoryu, on the spinning Tatsu, on a couple of them. The later characters definitely didn't have
it
as much.
Wasn't it EX moves that always had it?
No, it wasn't EX. It was focus attacks.
No, I mean, but if you EX'd a special move,
not
it didn't
always,
have it?
Not always. Not always.
But certain moves usually.
And then later on, they added colors 11 and 12. Which added hatching, cross-hatching shading.
Yeah, and on the PC, you could kick it up a couple notches one way or the other.
So
do a watercolor effect or something. It looked like shit.
The watercolor blur, yeah. So, no, I think, you know, those are some examples.
I think Street Fighter V looks real good, personally.
I think so, too. What is Eduardo wants to know what your favorite case of real-life limiters being removed is.
When you take your belt off after eating a big meal.
That's a good one. That's way up there. My favorite example is probably when cheetahs have to chase down antelope.
Yeah.
And, like, their bodies...
They do a thing, yeah.
Their bodies legitimately unlock the limiters on their muscles, mm-hmm, and allow them to go, like, dangerously fast to the point that their muscles would rip and destroy. Yeah.
But if they don't get that kill, they die.
And and so they basically have a burst, and the burst lasts for an exact amount of seconds. And at the moment that it runs out, no matter how close to getting the kill they are, it stops moving immediately, yeah, and the lactic acid kicks in. And it just ended there. Then basically, cheetahs have a state where they can go into overdrive and then recovery.
Yeah,
it's fucking cool, incredible.
Down. Yeah, they're still low tier though.
Sure, I'm not saying they're high on the tier zoo chart.
They can't fucking defend that kill against anything because they're just crippled.
Yeah,
but the idea of having the built-in burst meter,
the
is
recovery
sick.
Frames on that super are massive.
Yeah, they're
cheetahs
enormous.
Have installs. They like have dragon installs.
No, it's a cheetah install.
And then at the end, you go, oh,
yeah.
And then your counter hit of your
yeah, and he
vulnerable.
Hits a counter hit.
Yeah, but. Until that first moment, you know, they can do it.
I think one is like, especially when during the winters around here or whatever, this general region is like, if you bundle yourself up a lot and you like maybe overcompensate it and you get inside a house or whatever and it's warm again, and you're just sweating so bad and all I want to do is take off all my stuff and finally, mm-hmm, I feel like I can like, mm-hmm, be normal because, mm-hmm, I'm just like in this warm cocoon and just like feel like it holds you back because you just feel all gross and like the inside of your jacket's sweaty, so I just want to get all that stuff off.
I would say that my favorite feeling of a limiter is that you're going somewhere and you said I can carry all this stuff,
yeah,
and it's not a problem,
yeah,
and it is a problem,
yeah,
and it's the worst feeling in the world,
yeah, but you're
until you put it down and then your arms feel like absurdly light
and you can just punch shit.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I don't do this for very long because it's incredibly dangerous. But
all right, let's hear this stupid shit. Everybody ready?
Run for 7 minutes.
In Montreal winters and whatnot, especially.
Oh, no.
After a really, really intense boxing class, I'll just walk out.
No, you stupid idiot. That's so dangerous.
And just to walk across the street and get to the Dep, to the corner store to get like a water or whatever, just for that like 20 seconds.
That's poison for your immune system.
It feels incredibly nice to just get the cold air. Without like,
he means he's drenched in sweat and he goes out in minus 10
and smoke is coming off the body, but it's just for a couple seconds as I cross the street.
I know what you mean.
That is the fastest way to get sick, man. That is so bad.
Yeah, going from extreme heat to extreme cold is, and vice versa, I'm assuming.
I know.
Oh, man. Especially if you're going back into a gym, which is kind of filthy by itself.
It feels really
everybody
good.
Spit and piss everywhere.
Something like that happened, or it can be so intense where it's like we're in Florida and super, super hot, just super sweaty, like warnings. We get into a car and then we turn on the air conditioning full blast. And since these cars are in Florida, they go beyond all air conditioning limits. Mm-hmm. And both of us got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment,
we were both
just like sniffling we started getting clogged up. It was so bad.
Again, couple seconds only, but your whole body is like smoking.
And it looks cool. You feel real cool. You look at your fist and it's a smoking fist.
It
like,
really
yeah!
is. It legitimately is.
Amazing.
All right. Kyle says, Dear Super Butler Brothers, once a year I rewatch The Last of Us playthrough, and every couple months I rewatch The Third Strike Fisticuffs. Mm-hmm. Love those games, their art and their gameplay, and everything about them appears to be flawless to me. Mm-hmm. I consider them both favorites of mine, but here's the thing. I've never played them before. I've never even touched a Street Fighter game in my life, and I don't own a PlayStation until recently. I've never had the opportunity to play The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Am I weird, and have you ever fallen in love with a game you've never played?
Final Fight 7 Sons.
I'm a little too hands-on to fall in love with something like that for something I haven't actually been able to get hands-on. Though I can like pine and appreciate from a distance. Like I can't personally go like, oh, I love that game. It's more like I love the idea of that game.
Yeah, I'd say
but
that
I don't
too.
Watch LPs. If I did, I might actually change my mind. Because there are genres that I suck shit at that I would not be able to actually appreciate myself.
I think there's a couple like games that were not available, like even, you know, you can emulate or whatever, but it's like too much trouble. But like certain PS2 games that never made their way over here, like for a long time, like you've heard me talk about this game before, Willie, like Chain Dive. I knew about Chain Dive for a while and always like, I gotta play this, I got it. And then like I went into more like kind of like, yeah, I just appreciate it. And like, I really want to try it. And then another one was, yeah, Metal Wolf Chaos for the longest time until I got to play it. I was like, Metal Wolf Chaos is the greatest.
You know what?
Ever.
Matt is right. I'm wrong. There is a game that I loved before I got to play it, and it was Metal Wolf Chaos.
Hmm. Okay. I mean,
it was like a good 6 or 7 years before James Small showed it to
us. Yeah, I can't, like, the question just, I don't think it applies. It's to me in any way that I can think of, but I mean the closest would be like Gunslinger Stratos, where I'm like, I love everything about this game, but I need to try it, and then I went and I played it, you know,
or like Monster Hunter,
like whatever it is something that is going to be like, it's just counting down the time until you get a chance to play it.
Yeah, because you haven't played World yet.
So I don't think there's ever been one of those situations where we haven't then moved on to actually playing the thing.
Having said, I need to know if a game controls well. Like, yeah, that's like number two on my book.
I think it's not weird. I think it's normal, you know. But I don't think that means you love the game. I think it means you.
But how did you avoid playing Third Strike for so long when it's been out on everything?
Yeah, I think
except for maybe Nintendo console.
Well, again, he explained.
Well, it's like
he only got the opportunity.
Even if you're shit at a fighting game, you can still like appreciate like, you know, Mochi versus Daigo or something in that fighting game.
Exactly.
Even though you can't ever do that.
Yeah, Marvel 2. I appreciate Marvel 2.
Yeah, I learned to appreciate Marvel 2 even though I can't even look at it. Clockwork versus Neo is a fucking work of art.
Yep.
Jeffrey says, Dear Lord of the Scrubs, I was replaying Breath of Fire, Dragon Quarter, and I got to the part where you start turning into a dragon. Once I got there, the game introduced a new mechanic where a gauge fills up and you use, whenever you move or use your dragon abilities, the gauge fills as you use your abilities.
Yep.
Okay.
Once it's full, it's an automatic game over.
Yep.
This puts me in a, this puts a really negative spin on using the dragon abilities, which are both super strong and fun.
Yep.
What do you think metric like this that puts a limit on the type of abilities you can use and prevents you from freely using
that part
of the
game? I think
Dragon Quarter is like this, that thing ruins that game.
I think that's
the worst implementation ever.
Because here's the thing is I can see a situation where that's called for if the plot moment is strong enough, right? If what's happening on screen is an emotional thing where you're specifically trying to deliver a point, then you can absolutely use a system like that. But in general, speaking from the point of view of what is good game design, the version of that you want to have is a normal situation where a normal character gets enhanced, and then you can have, and you have a limit on how fast things burn down that system, and then perhaps there's ways to extend it by being really good at using it or something like that. But then you drop out to a normal state.
In Dragon Quarter, that game has a straight up real ass time limit on beating the game, and just using the dragon form just burns minutes. So you never use it ever.
Okay.
Okay. It sucks. It's the worst, man.
Yeah. Again, sounds fun on paper in a diner coming up with interesting concepts for game ideas, but in execution, probably
terrible.
Matt,
you said you had one.
Yeah. Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones. You play that game for about an hour and a half, and you're the prince, and you have to do a lot of stealthy sneak attacks. And when you turn into the Dark Prince, you get a completely new moveset. You get a God of War chain. You can do lots of fun stuff, lots of different animations. Your health is constantly draining, and you will die if you don't get through the Dark Prince section. If you don't do it perfectly, then you will die and you go back to the checkpoint wherever you were.
Yeah.
But the problem with the Prince of Persia game, at least, you can design a game around this, but it's like, all right, I have to look up in the environment. That's where I got to go. And you like to plan out your move because it's a lot of combat being the Dark Prince, but it still wants you to do the platforming. And every time I replay that game, I get up to the, like, I've beaten that game once. And every time I get to the Dark Prince again, like when I played it on Steam, when I played the HD PS3 version, I get to that part. I'm like, yeah, I forgot how unfun it is.
No, that sounds like anti-fun.
Yeah. There's a way to do it. It's like, I just wish the penalty wasn't fucking death.
How about One Prince has like a Gears of War style sustained healing. Just don't take too much damage at one point.
That's fine.
And the other character has points of hits.
Yeah. And it's also because when you're the prince, it's supposed to make you feel like I'm a badass warrior. I can take it, because combat's not really the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It can be if you play sloppy, but the actual thing is just you have to do it fast.
Mm-hmm,
and you kind of want, I have a new character, basically. I want to explore him. Like imagine it's like, oh, you're Nero, but you're always dying.
Or your stamina is your life bar.
Yeah, that too.
No, that's...
It sucks because The Two Thrones was also about to be called something else and be reworked completely differently, and it wasn't going to have that. It was called Prince of Persia Kindred Blades. There was an E3 stage show where that was the name of the game. Then they switched it all up, and they put that weird limit on being the Dark Prince. And I was like, why?
It's a better name, but it still would have been a terrible game. Like at the end.
No, that one's okay. It's better than Warrior Within.
Yeah.
That's the Dahaka.
Steel thongs.
That's the Dahaka. There's no Dahaka on the throne. Should have been.
What a year, right, guys? Says Ricardo.
Yeah, it's been great.
You might not be aware how crazy this year was.
All right, let's hear it.
2017 started with a bang as Prince and Yuri continued their hunt for Marikov, which ended in an explosive showdown as seen in January in 2017 in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Meanwhile,
oh yeah, that's true. World War III happened.
Meanwhile, a man named Goodman tried to take over the Neo Geo world as seen in Neo Geo Battle Coliseum. This takes place in February 2017.
Really happened in 2017.
It did.
While that's going down, someone else named Ethan goes through some insane ordeals in Dalvey, Louisiana, as seen in RE7.
Yep.
And then in September 2017, Slick Clyde travels back in time to the 70s to try and take over America via car battles, as seen in Vigilante 8 Second Offense.
Oh, man.
Wow, what a pull.
Man, that's crazy.
I can hardly wait for 2018 to roll around, where we'll be greeted by some insane bullshit, such as the plots of Metal Gear Rising, Trauma Center Under the Knife, and Trauma Team. Then, of course, this leads to 2019, where House of the Dead 3 takes place.
Oh, man. House of the Dead 3 is in an apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the entire world's destroyed. And your that's ancestors.
A good one. That's a good one.
That's very good. There's got to be some 80s Schwarzenegger movie that takes place. Like, maybe Running Man,
I think we may have passed.
I mean, we're past Back to the Future.
Yeah, we're past Demolition Man.
So.
No, wait. The initial part of Demolition Man. I think in Demolition Man, it's like 2036.
I'm going to check because Demolition Man is an amazing movie.
It's very important.
Okay, it came out in 93.
Yeah.
Okay.
And start of it takes place in 96 or 97.
Okay. 2032 is Demolition Man.
It was a little off.
If you had to steer the world towards one of these.
Demolition Man.
Easy.
I guess Trauma Team would be cool.
Probably fine.
Trauma Team's normal, except you're in a universe in which people use Satan to heal you.
Okay, well.
That's true.
There's also Metal Gear Rising where I can get my Blade Pupper.
Yeah, but the Metal Gear Rising has like...
Not sure if that's available to just civilians, though.
The Metal Gear universe at that point is really weird.
Yeah.
That means you have to live in the Metal Gear universe, Willy.
But living in the Metal Gear universe as a normal civvy means...
pointless.
Living in a country where there's PMCs and you probably have nanomachines.
Oh, man.
Yeah, civilians might have nanomachines.
Willy's all about selling out that human dignity for technology.
All right. What makes for a better story? Dear Super Best Little Girl with Black Hair Hunters.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah, okay.
We're doing a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
Okay. The hero
Silent
fighting to protect...
Hill and evil within.
Right. The hero fighting to protect the world from evil, or the hero fighting to free the world from the evil that rules it?
Well, you're going to have to ask Ryu and Ken to finally sort that fucking question out then, aren't you?
I think freeing the world is a more compelling story.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
Changing the status quo.
I think the most interesting thing about Shin Megami Tensei is in the main line, it's like, you have to stop the apocalypse. Oh, the apocalypse happened.
Mm-hmm. You're too slow.
you fucked up, or the guy behind you fucked up, and the apocalypse happened. Fix it.
Yeah.
You can't fix it? Okay. Well,
also, the idea of like freedom fighters then learning how to live normal lives is always really fascinating to me because they can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Welcome home, Frank.
What the fuck? Like Gurren Lagann. Okay. Let's try to do normal things now. Oh God.
Yeah.
How do we do this? I'm going over there. Yeah. I think it's a much more interesting story to free the world from its current chains.
Because you get to see how the world's all jacked up by evil.
Zachary thinks he's clever with a bunch of bullshit that he wants me to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to skip all that because you're not clever, Zach Flame, but I am going to read this part of your question. If you could perform a Mario Odyssey capture on any enemy from any game, which you could then stack like Goombas, what would it be?
No, that's too much, that last part.
Sure.
Any enemy from
any game.
Game.
And you get to just hop out afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's a one-time experience.
So you like, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, man.
This is just what powers would you use for evil question.
No, but you get away with it also. Yeah. It's clean slate.
Like,
that's
I could say
better.
Professor X is a fucking character you can fight against in that shitty X-Men 2 fighting game for the PS1.
Wow.
And then you could just be like, give me all the money at the bank.
But it still has to be an enemy. It still has to be an enemy. You can't just do it for Professor X.
That's a big one.
So it has to be like Goombas or like, you know, whatever you fight, like the fucking the Locust in like Gears of War or something.
That's a hard one.
Mario
capture.
I'm going to say, fuck, that's too tough, man. That's too broad.
No.
Oh, I know.
Because that would be shitty.
What?
I was like, if you pick any. Okay. Wait. I was going to interrupt. Yeah, I think I have one.
All right, let's hear it.
The Nameless King.
Do what?
Ride a dragon.
That's it? Okay.
Be a god.
Sure.
Greater. But then the world sucks and you're like...
You're in that place.
And that's why I said any soul's badass comes with the fact that you're all shitty and fucked up.
But every character's shitty and
fucked
up.
All right, I got one. It's actually from Mario Odyssey. I'm going to be that fucking change purse Goomba. The one that just vomits gold.
Jesus.
I'm gonna grab that thing and I'm going to fucking walk over to a big fucking hole in the ground and just vomit gold all day for like a week. And then I'm going to kill it when I'm done. And then I'm going to have all this gold. Works for me. I got gold out of it. You get fucking killed by an undead. Eventually.
Is there any... What's a good one? I'd throw the hat on Dr. Manhattan.
It's not an enemy in a video game.
That's what the Earth doesn't know.
There's a Watchmen game.
Is he an enemy you fight?
Well, he's the meta enemy,
he's
really.
The end of the game.
No, he's not, because that Watchmen game takes place before Watchmen.
Oh.
Greater Dog in Undertale?
Oh, yeah.
He's cute.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
He is an enemy.
That's a tough one.
Is he really your enemy?
Maybe we should do homework on this. Come back next week with an answer, because it's too good.
I'm not doing that.
All Father Rode.
Oh! Fucking... Dio.
Yeah?
Yeah!
I guess.
Yeah.
You can dip into Dio for a little bit.
Do Dio for a...
I would love to beat Dio!
I don't know.
Never take that hat off! Get the big stupid mustache on him!
I don't think Cappy would actually be strong enough to give Dio... Would just, like, pull it off or something. Maybe.
Oh, he can throw... Cappy can take over T-Rexes. The real question here is, why haven't the Cap Kingdom... How hasn't the Cap Kingdom
taken over all the...
It's the strongest power in the world.
Because I think that someone literally needs to throw them on. I don't think they can just hop on.
But you see them move from place to place.
Yeah, but you never see them move.
All right, so just have one idiot trick... Hey, Luigi, you're an idiot.
Oh.
Throw me onto Mario. Now I'm controlling Mario.
Yeah,
now, you know.
Metroid. A Metroid.
You want to be a Metroid?
Yeah.
Just
be able to ability, then jump out?
Yeah.
Yes. I want to see what that's like.
What happens if you get frozen and then someone starts
then
shooting
that's
missiles
the life
at
of
you?
A Metroid.
Well, yeah. Actually, if he takes too much damage, he'll fly out back to his whole body, right?
Yeah. That's how it works.
I guess technically you get saved. Wow. That is a tough one, though. That's a good question. All right. Bane says, "Hi there. Please come up with something for me here. I just want to look cool on the internet." Cast.
All right.
Yes. Okay. So, all right.
I only recently learned of this via Loading Ready Run, but the phrase. What? Okay. But the phrase to woolly someone comes from the Magic the Gathering community in Victoria, where it means pre-match Johns, because someone in the area with that name. Was
oh,
well
really?
Known for doing that.
There's a second Wooly. There's a second John,
so.
But it's Wooly and
apparently
it's out in Victoria.
So. Apparently that's the
so
case.
So random.
Anyway, what level up sound and graphical effect triggers the pleasure center of your brain the hardest?
Oh.
What? Sorry, say it again?
What level up sound and graphical effect triggers the pleasure center of your brain the hardest?
I'd say being invincible both in Mario and Sonic. Classic. 2D Sonic.
No, level up sound.
Oh, level up. Sorry, I thought I meant just power up.
Level up sound and graphical effect.
Oh, you level up and whoa.
It's that terrible one for Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
You level up in Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine,
and
he shouts,
his shirt grows back and light
shoots out of him.
That's a big one. That's a Wolverine Adamantium Rage. Not Adamantium Rage.
Just Wolverine Origins.
Wolverine Origins.
Whatever.
Yep, that's a big one. I have two. One's not technically... Well, one is leveling up for sure. So The World Ends With You.
a big, like, heaven laser shoots down, and these wings fly out, and it's very, very satisfying looking. That's a big one. And my and the second, it's not quite a level up, but it everything about the way it rolls out is almost like opening a loot box. Is when you're like when you max out the stress meter on a Darkest Dungeon character, and then their virtue is tested. Right,
and then
they either get they either get an ailment or they become virtuous. That moment of like triumph of like like the glow,
and
they prosper over the moment, and like they come out on the other side stronger than ever is so satisfying.
Just theoretically, that's awesome, right?
Right, like, because you see them, because you see them grab their head and go into that like maximum cracking state.
You gotta break through the ceiling,
and then they either like fly out of it more powerful or like break down and crumple. And it's like only that game does it. So Darkest Dungeon takes it for me.
I know it's a bit old and it's not all that fancy, all things considered. But there's always going to be a place in my heart for World of Warcraft's level up, in that you have this explosion into a pillar of light that you can see from like a mile away.
Yeah, the big light. Yeah. Big light pillar is a safe way to do it.
Is good.
It's only significant in that game because it's an MMO and you can see it from pretty far away. So you can see people like standing way away from you in a town, and they just explode with light. It's like, oh, good for you, buddy. You dinged.
I talked about it before already, but when you do level up in Assassin's Creed Origins, it's kind of subtle, and also like it could happen in a conversation with someone where, well, let's say I'm talking to you and I just level up and you just see me, my clothes ruffle a little bit and you see little yellow dust clouds spray out from like in a circumference around me, and you're just like, they fade off.
That's cool.
And that's it. It's like the opposite of Wolverine.
Yeah, super subtle. What Slumber wants to know, what you would describe your current fashion sense / aesthetic as in one word, and if you could switch it to something a little more eccentric, what would it be? Or would you rather?
The answer to that second one is no, and I'm gonna go with
40-year-old cab driver. Well, you used to, at least.
He's missing his Kangol hat, though.
I don't know what that is. I don't know.
I would describe mine as...
I don't think we're well-versed in enough terms to really...
Well, Wooly is.
I'd describe my sense of style as, I guess, Afropunk.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'd describe my style as mathcore.
Nice.
I describe my style as skull chic.
Yeah, well, that's really good. That's really, really good.
I wouldn't want to change everything totally, but per situation. Like, if I'm going to a party or some type of gathering, I wish I could just be like, and then just get a whole different wardrobe for that situation.
No, the second
in general, I wouldn't do
it. The second part of that question, the answer is no, because I just do it. Like if I wanted to change to another thing, I just do that or have that. So,
but like if let's say I'm going to a situation where I'm like I only have one thing of that, and I'd like to wear something different, but I don't have the closet for that. You know, I wish that the whole wardrobe could change to like I wish it was like a superpower I could get. You know, if the situation warranted it.
I hear you.
I think we did it.
Yep.
Did you go through all the good emails?
He's close
to it.
We had two more.
Okay.
I felt like doing a bunch of these to compensate for the shorter weeks.
I hope this one is.
And we're still on time.
I hope we have at least one super terrible email.
I can find one real easy.
real easy.
JJ wants to know, what do you like more? The new character taking on the mantle from the deceased / retired character, or doubling down on their own thing. So
what do you mean?
X-23 becoming Wolverine or Amadeus Cho becoming the Hulk.
Yeah.
Or very much just becoming the Nightwing / Red Robin.
I prefer them being their own thing.
I think the mantle like carries weight in the sense that everyone wants to see
it,
a
though.
New version of the cool thing because it's a bigger implication. But a lot of the time, the idealized version of what the mantle means is you put it on a pedestal, and the actual guy was less than that, you know? So I'm a fan of individuality as well, especially when it's inspired. If it's inspired individuality, it's like, clearly my influences were here, but I'm doing my own thing here. I like that better.
I like it when the origin is already a mantle that gets passed down. Like, I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of, like, Captain Marvel or something like that.
Captain Marvel.
But
Captain Universe.
Yeah. I'm not that big of a fan of, like, I'm the new Hulk. Like, no.
Okay.
That's you're a different person.
Just be
a different person.
Hulk was not a mantle.
Yeah,
yes,
I know. He's the totally awesome Hulk.
Yeah.
Laura's kind of a little different because... You know, she's kind of Wolverine.
You've
like
got
DNA,
these powers,
like,
and then the other guy's dead, right?
But when it happens sometimes, like, I'm not a fan of it. But if it's, like, a mantle that gets passed down, it's like, so I go either way, depending.
If the power itself actually travels from one person to another.
Because I like Nightwing. I think Nightwing's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it works out sometimes, and other times it doesn't work.
Okay, but what about Black Spider-Man, though?
Which Black Spider-Man?
Black Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Black Spider-Man.
The black one.
Who's black?
Yes.
I hate that new Riverdale show. Yeah, really? Yeah, the writing's awful. I hate it. I hope it goes on for 8 seasons. Wait, do you like it or do you hate it? Yes. That's one of the best tweets I've seen. I stopped watching that show after like a couple episodes because like, fuck this. And now Leanna's watching like season 2, and like I'm on the computer, I look up and hear Jughead, tall boys coming to sacrifice everyone. We need to get the Scribble Scrabble to get in there and before the red blood moon happens. Right, Arch. And I'm just
but
looking
first
around.
I gotta eat this hamburger.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't even eat that much, Jughead. Hate that show. I hope it goes on for 8 seasons.
It's something to hate.
Lastly, we got one coming in from
it's keeping me alive.
Yes, no. And he says, dear Zach the Cat, still pulling that YouTube money ad kibble from working these three corpses on puppet strings with an elaborate soundboard.
Amazing.
That's a really powerful soundboard.
That's a god at that point.
Yeah.
When I was 17, I had my friends over while my parents shot the shit upstairs, decided to pop in Soul Calibur 3 as usual. We were having a great time playing some rounds, and then we were interrupted by my dad nervously coming downstairs as a representative of the group, asking us if everything was all right and what we were doing. Turns out the repeated grunts from attacks and hit animations in many fighting games sound exactly like gay porn.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So
I need to pop in Soul Calibur 3
again. I can't ignore it.
I don't.
And since I can't ignore it, and muting character voices put vocalizations puts me at a huge advantage in tournament play. Have you ever had any similar experiences that have ruined games for you?
I remember getting a pirated version of Fear Effect 2, and then I popped that in, and I was like, I don't know, like fucking 13 or 14, right? And the very first thing that happens in Fear Effect 2 is you go save the female co-star that is being like entangled by what I'm going to describe as a sex robot machine with accompanying agony noises. And like, of course, my older sister walks in and just goes, the fuck, and then leaves. And I'm just like, now the Fear Effect series is ruined because somebody saw. It's that shit where like anime is normal until someone walks
There's
by.
There's a vine. There's a vine of a dude watching anime. And then and then his friends walk in and it just turns into some creepy bullshit.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, wait. And it's
why
only,
were you normal before anime? Yeah.
And then they walk back in with friends and they get back to the same creepy shit.
It's how it is.
Yep, that's exactly. That's so real.
This is kind of like sort of like that, but it's also maybe I shouldn't be playing this regardless, is just because the room in my parents' house that the computer was in was through one, it was on the other side of the wall of their bedroom, and they're just like they're just talking or whatever. It was just my dad or whatever, and I'm playing Duke Nukem 3D, and he's like, are you playing a game where the only thing that happens is that you say shake it, baby, over and over? And I'm like, yeah, it's one of those learning tools where you learn, like, it beeps on the words. And you're like, and he's like, that sounds like you're lying. And he comes over and he looks. He's like, that's one of those violent first-person games. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, damn it, why did I keep pressing spacebar on the stripper?
That may be the shittiest lie I've ever heard.
Yeah, but remember, this is also the time where I used to be like, yeah, let's go in the next time after. When they asked me to do
a
chore from downstairs. Like, I thought, I am the cleverest child.
Just turn down the volume.
No. Wear a headphone.
I didn't have any at the time.
Just the one headphone. That's all you
nothing
need.
Nothing really like that besides that part in Majora's Mask where the baby's crying.
Mm-hmm.
And like my mom getting super duper mad at that because it lasts for a while. And she's like, they're trying to desensitize you from the sounds of babies crying in real life, so you keep playing the game. And I'm like, nah, you're crazy. And I guess, like, trying to watch Clockwork Orange in the middle of the living room while life was happening around me was a bad idea.
Yeah.
So
that's what?
Yeah.
Mm.
I didn't know.
But you knew now.
Well.
You knew now.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't know at the time what I was messing with. What's coming up? What's coming out?
Oh, man. We got more Evil Within coming at you. Wooly's properly back, so we're going to be starting recording new LPs with Mr. Wooly here.
That's his name, Mr. Wooly.
Yeah, tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about the one that I'm going to be in.
Can I get... yeah.
Intro's done.
Cool. Yes. Yeah. Yay. Good.
Good.
So we can start tomorrow.
We're starting an LP.
No, we got to do more Evil Within tomorrow.
Oh, man. That game's great.
Yeah,
shucks.
Yeah, I know. But we're like,
all right, we'll start Wednesday.
Tomorrow. All right, that's fine.
Do we want to announce what that is?
No, let's
okay, let's
let
it.
Let's
all
let
right.
it pop. Let's let it pop.
And you guys are going to be starting something up, which I don't think I actually know what that is.
You do, actually. You just
oh,
forgot.
I just forgot?
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm thinking back. I do know. I just forgot. Yeah, you're right.
There you go.
Yep, so we got two new LPs coming this week. And
hot LPs.
Yep.
Fighterpedia will be back to normal.
Fighterpedia will be back to normal. HD remastered.
Oh, no, that's not back to normal. Fighterpedia is normal when it looks like shit.
It's true.
Yeah, this is gonna be weird.
This is against its entire.
I want to ask what you're actually gonna do. You don't have those files in higher quality or something, do you?
So
live action files, no, but every other you can.
Yeah, I can. What I can do is re-render them better, and we can make some remastered.
Oh, so it's
changes.
It's a remaster. It's not a.
That's
HD
what it's called.
Okay. It's, yeah, but it's like a real remaster. It's not like a
yeah,
HD-ification.
Yeah. So it, yes.
It's a reimagining.
Exactly. So we're going over it. We're, making it a bit better. And we're, for the most part, like, it's a remaster. Some things will be worse. But it's
How are you going to make that amazing video series better?
It's what the name implies. It is high definition and it is remastered.
I'm very glad that you used A, a no spoiler link to tweet that out, and B, immediately retweeted a photo of a guy going, "What the fuck is Fighterpedia?"
So, yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. No, fisticuffs will be back to normal.
Yeah.
Well, as normal as it gets.
Normal as it gets.
Oh, boy, man.
Got that Sega Saturn working, finally.
Woo. It'll break right
well,
before
no,
you
no,
come
no, 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 it didn't break. Like, I got it be able to be recorded.
It'll
because Saturn has not played nicely
it's
with our
TV. It's on fire
so
right
no.
now,
it's
man.
It's not. It's fine. Yeah, I don't know if there's any real games or stuff coming out. Like, I know, I forget when Xenoblade comes out.
I think next year.
No, it comes out either the end of this month or early next month.
Huh, really?
Yeah, it's. I think it's
Well, next
December.
Month is
oh, December.
Yeah, next month is December. Christmas is coming, gang. We should probably get on that.
I gotta do.
Should we wear hats?
I gotta turn 32 first.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, that's soon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Look at you old ass man.
I'm a step uncle now too.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, Melissa and David had a baby last night at like 5 a.m.
Wait,
cool.
Melissa and David.
Step uncle. How's that?
Step uncle.
Yeah.
Aren't you just an uncle?
No, I'm an uncle-in-law.
Yeah, uncle-in-law.
Yeah.
Step is marital, separation by divorce.
Yeah, uncle-in-law.
So yeah, I make a bad dad. I make an awesome uncle.
No one really says that, so you're actually
yeah,
just
you're
nobody.
Yeah, you're just uncle.
That's fine.
Well, in my family,
your uncle. Your
in
uncle,
my yeah. family, we don't do the uncle-in-law. It's just everybody in that tier becomes an aunt or an uncle.
Yeah. No, that's it. And, like, whoever's, like, blood
and they're married to this person, then you're just an uncle.
Yeah, yeah, so that's fine. So that's that. That's fun.
Cool. That's good news. Congratulations to them.
Thank you.
Now you get to be cool uncle. That's your job now.
But don't be too cool uncle.
Yeah, because then you get in trouble. Because like they're like, don't give him pizza and treats and shit. Don't. I'm like, well, I want it too.
Well, here's the question. If his if his first words are Godzilla,
by the way.
Godzilla Predator.
She. That's good.
She. Then,
that's even better.
Then Melissa's going to just like raise her fists to the hand, to the air, and get a crane shot out. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'll sneak little Godzillas into
gotta buy crane. More of these dinosaurs.
Here, enjoy this spiky action figure, baby.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no.
If you, it's literally all spines.
See, because the lesson in the special episode is always when you go hang out with Cool Uncle, that always spoils you. If you turn out, it turns out that Cool Uncle is super responsible and he can't actually be around all the time to take care of you. So you don't want to be around.
I'm also actually the godfather, too.
You gonna do a Brando? You gonna
We're godparents.
You gonna give us a Brando right now?
No.
Okay.
Okay. I wanted a Brando.
But enjoy this Godzilla.
Yeah, I got it.
That could be anybody.
Nah, I the thought was there. The thought is what counts.
So yeah, we did it.
We did it.
I say we.
Well,
did
he's
it.
Just kind of staring into space.
It's fine.
Yeah, I was just trying to think if there's anything else, but I don't think there is.
No, not really. Matt, you doing any streams this week?
Yeah, Wednesday I'm going to stream something that a lot of people have been telling me to stream. I still don't know why. They're like, you'll like it.
What is it?
Doki Doki Literature
You'll
Club.
Like it.
Okay.
It starts with Doki Doki.
Yeah, but
it's a free.
About
it's a
it.
Free game on Steam.
Okay. So I'll be doing that Wednesday night. That's the point.
Is that safe?
Yes, it is. It is. It
okay.
is.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things you actually have to confirm.
Okay.
Because the screenshots don't help because they're all like...
I heard
you're pushing limits over there on the flop
house. No, because all you really need to do is when you're on Steam, just look at the tags.
Yeah.
And it just says psychological dating sim, violent...
Big boner.
Horror.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have Big Cocker in it, then you're fine.
Big Cocker?
Yeah.
Hey, where's your stream at, Matt?
Matthew McMuscles at Twitch.
Yeah, that's where it is.
TV.twitch.
You did it.
/ Matt.
Hey, Wooly.
Yeah.
Is there anything coming up on Wooly Versus this week?
There's some stuff being worked on, but...
probably not ready this week?
Well, yeah, it'll drop when it's ready.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are you becoming Romero? Or Carmack?
No,
when it's done.
No, but I'm definitely breaking free of the idea
of the schedule.
Of the schedule, and just kind of going.
Nah, man.
Hey,
you already have a schedule right here. Why would you give yourself a schedule?
Exactly.
I don't know. I might stream at Angriest Pet. I don't probably. I don't know what though. So, check that if you want. I guess.
Cool.
Oh. Better at shilling yours is stuff than I'm better at shilling my own stuff.
How do we get out of this flaccid nosedive?
Think about something that makes your dick really soft, and then that'll distract the rest of us.
Here, Wooly, look at these biker mice.
Oh, yeah. Help. Yeah, look at the biker mite. Look. Oh, my God, Wooly. It's like there's a black hole opening up in your torso to suck your genitals into it.
Here we go, off the rails. Don't you know it's time to raise our sails? It's freedom like you never knew. 20 bags or a pass. Say the word, I'll be there in a flash. You could say my hat is off to you. Oh, we can zoom all the way to the moon. From this great wide wacky world. Jump with me, grab coins with me, oh yeah. Jump up in the air, jump up, don't be scared. Jump up and your cares will soar away. And if the dark clouds start to swirl, don't feel a jet of tears. I'll be your one up girl. So let's all jump up super high, high up in the sky. There's no power up like dancing. You know that you're my superstar. No one else can take me this far.
the Odyssey. Spin the wheel, take a chance. Every journey starts a new romance. A new world's calling out to you. Take a turn, walk the path. Find a new addition to the cast. You know that any captain needs a crew. Take it in stride as you move side to side. They're just different points of view. Jump with me, grab coins with me, oh yeah. Come on and jump up in the air. Jump without a care. Jump up cause you know that I'll be there. And if you find you're short on joy, don't fret, just don't forget that you're still a one-up boy. So go on, straighten up your cap. Let your toes begin to tap. This rhythm is a power show. Superstars, no one else can make it this far. But go through that stash. Now you've got panache. Oh, let's do the Odyssey. It's time to jump up in the air. Jump up, don't be scared. Jump up and your cares will soar away. And if the dark clouds start to swirl, superstar.